the healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Mulligano. Night is falling in Central Florida as evening envelops 10,000 without power, thousands more without homes, everyone telling of their survival. Everyone but 19.
We tried to make it to our walk-in closet. I did. My husband didn't. He ended up on the floor beside the bed. And the closet door caved in on me, and then the roof was gone.
Horrific weather of incredible winds, thunder, lightning, probably even tornadoes slammed into Central Florida about 3 this morning and cut a swath of death and destruction across 40 miles. CBS News correspondent Peter King's in Volusia County.
I'm seeing a lot of shredded aluminum siding, and you can't tell what house it came from. A lot of it wound up in a tree that was ripped up out of its roots and is over on its side.
The governor's declared a state of emergency in 4 counties. Again, 19 dead so far. That's a number they fear will climb as urban search and rescue crews move into the hardest hit areas of Central Florida to begin going through the piles of debris. A new analysis by American Intel says Iraq leaders will have a hard time creating a lasting political settlement anytime soon. The sectarian differences in their country have become so entrenched. Another American helicopter's gone down, the 4th in 2 weeks, by ground fire. 2 soldiers died in the crash. Their bodies were recovered. Also in Iraq, it would appear there's something of a problem with trying to beef up Iraqi troops who eventually take over for the U.S. forces. Here's CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnetto.
The Pentagon admits Iraqi units being deployed as part of the new Baghdad security plan are showing up undermanned. But Joint Chiefs Chairman General Peter Pace traces the problem to a unique situation. Iraqi troops are being paid in cash. Rather than risk carrying it around with them, they leave their units and take the money home.
The initial units that got there with about 60%, and therefore they do need to continue to flesh out those units, get all those who may be home taking their money to their families and get them in.
Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Washington.
With a stroke of a pen, Texas Governor Rick Perry has made his state the first to require young girls be vaccinated against the virus that causes cervical cancer. Krista Moody speaks for the governor.
We support our decision. We think that it's a great one, and we think that it's going to have a positive impact for the state.
It should also have a positive impact on the pharmaceutical company, Merck, where the vaccine's made, and Chris Loder's a spokesman.
We support approaches that achieve high immunization rates, and we support state-level mechanisms, including school requirements, to ensure high immunization rates.
18 states are considering legislation to mandate the vaccination. The author of California's had to back off her sponsorship, handing the bill to another lawmaker when it became known she owned shares of Merck. A little performance today, Merck, reflecting all of this. Share prices actually slipped a bit, about 40 cents or 1%. On the market watch, as the bell sounded, the Dow was down and the NASDAQ was up about 4 points. This is CBS News.
Get 2 full days of store-wide savings at Kohl's 2-Day Sale this Friday and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Save 40 to 60% on hundreds of new arrivals like Mrs. Sportswear, men's, juniors, and kids' apparel, family shoes, sheets, towels, frames, and more. Save 50% on select kitchen electrics and floor care. Plus, shop our Gold Star clearance merchandise and get incredible savings on select winter apparel and home items this Friday and Saturday only at Kohl's 2-Day Sale. Kohl's, expect great things.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yep, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
That lawsuit against the Corps of Engineers is moving ahead. Mike Conti's a reporter at WWL in New Orleans.
The suit claims the Corps knowingly ignored defects in the Mississippi River Gulf outlet that led to the devastating flooding in St. Bernard Parish in New Orleans East during Katrina. Attorney Joseph Bruno, who's representing the plaintiffs, calls Judge Stanwood Duvall's decision a landmark ruling because it prevents the government from claiming immunity in similar cases nationwide.
This is a problem that's not limited just to New Orleans. It's a problem for everybody in this country.
Bruno says the ruling may also apply to a similar lawsuit dealing with a levee breach at the 17th Street Canal. Mike Conti for CBS News, New Orleans.
Another group of home and business owners asking, now what do I do? State Farm says it won't renew insurance coverage for some 2,600 policyholders along the Alabama coast, specifically Mobile and Baldwin counties, homes and buildings near the beaches. In fact, the majority of customers live within 1,000 feet of an Alabama shoreline. I'm Lou Miliano, CBS News.
The following is a paid commercial message.
It's estimated that over 200 million people in the U.S. suffer from herpes-caused cold sores. There are many products on the market today. Relieve One Day Cold Sores Symptom Treatment is excellent because it relieves cold sore symptoms in just a day. Pain eases in minutes and other symptoms resolve in just 24 hours. Relieve is non-toxic, comprised of botanical extracts, and is 100% guaranteed. Millions of sufferers have found that Relieve works best for them. Only you can determine that Relieve is best for you. You can now buy Relieve at most major stores.
Why settle for another pre-made combo meal when right now you can get a Subway Fresh Value Meal at a great price? A delicious sub with chips and a drink. The Subway Fresh Value Meal. What a deal. Subway restaurants, where freshness meets value. Subway. Eat fresh.
Offer good on regular 6-inch sub bag of chips and 21-ounce drink. Subway's registered trademark of Dr. Associates, Inc.
Of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and we're originating one more time inside the Beltway.
Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land. This is Matt Renner, the producer for the Peter B. Collins Show. I just wanted to let you know that this is a replay. It is not a live show. We're trying to connect with Brad in Phoenix, Arizona for a live town hall meeting. Unfortunately, they're having some technical issues on their end, but we'll be back live with you hopefully in the next few minutes. I'll let you know. Here's back to a Peter replay from last Friday.
Just a moment. You're also going to meet Anton Gunn. This guy is amazing. He's executive director of South Carolina Fair Share, former football player, and a really rousing activist. I heard him speak earlier today. Also on our program from Philadelphia, Elisa Simon, who specializes in health policy issues related to covering uninsured children in America. Then we're going to shift gears and get you prepared for what we hope is a historic turnout for a peace march in Washington tomorrow. It's called the Surge for Peace. And we're going to be talking with Lieutenant Aaron Watata. And this is a real great moment for me. I've been hoping to talk with him ever since his story surfaced. He is the courageous lieutenant who has refused to return to Iraq and is confronting a court-martial that also has drawn some of our favorite journalists like Dar Jamail into the mix as the court tries to get them to give some evidence against Lieutenant Watata. Also, we're going to be talking to a couple of the individuals who are participating in tomorrow's events on the Mall here in Washington. Congressman Dennis Kucinich from Ohio, and that's by popular request. I've been calling his office all week because listeners said, we want to hear Kucinich. Well, he'll be with us later on tonight. We don't know the exact time. And Congresswoman Barbara Lee of Oakland, who is co-author of the legislation, a bill in the House to get us out of Iraq, will be joining us in our third hour, as well as Nancy Lesson from Military Families Speak Out. That's all ahead here live from Washington on the Peter B. Collins Show. And as always, you can join us by telephone, toll-free. We've got the gizmos all wired and connected, and you can call in at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, and you can email peter at peterbcollins.com. Melanie Sloan is here to watch over the swamp in Washington, D.C. She is the executive director of CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hello, Melanie.
Hi, Peter.
Thanks for keeping the town nice and warm for me here this week.
A pretty miserable day to be here in Washington.
Well, the sun was out, but it was brisk and a real nasty cold breeze cutting through us. But it's a great great time to be here. There's a lot going on. And at Crew, you got a kind of clean bill of health, an exoneration. Now, that may be a little strong, but your role in the Mark Foley case was evaluated by the Inspector General of the Justice Department, and they said that Crew operated, well, very honorably in this process. Tell us a little more.
That's right. We were, in fact, completely vindicated by the Department of Justice Inspector General. As you may recall, back in September when the whole Foley scandal blew up, we revealed that back in July of 2006, we had received the initial set of emails that Mr. Foley had sent to a page that had made the page very uncomfortable. These were not the sexually explicit instant messages that came out later, but nonetheless, they were very disturbing emails. Mm-hmm. And when we got them, I sent them directly to the FBI quite promptly. And this came out in September when suddenly the FBI, when the whole scandal broke, suddenly the FBI said now they were going to investigate the matter. Well, I thought, what do you mean now you're going to investigate the matter? You've had the email since July. Why didn't you investigate then? And the FBI said at the time, well, they didn't investigate then because when I sent them the emails, I had redacted them or blacked portions out so much so that there wasn't enough information to investigate. And in addition, I had refused to cooperate when they'd asked me questions. Well, when this happened, we sent letters to the Inspector General of the Department of Justice saying, hey, you need to look at the FBI here. First, you need to look at, one, why the FBI didn't investigate in the first place, and then you need to find out why the FBI is lying about our role and telling these completely untrue stories. Another thing they had said was that we had actually held on to the emails since April, that we'd received them in April and then only sent them to the FBI in July, which was just a complete and total fabrication. So anyway, this week the Inspector General report finally came out, and it says several things, but importantly it says the FBI should have done something with those emails. They should have investigated them, and then if they weren't going to investigate them, they at the very least should have then told Crew that they weren't going to do anything with them so that we would have had an opportunity to make a decision about what else we might have done with them. And secondly, they found that the FBI lied about all the things they said about Crew, that we were not the reason that they didn't conduct an investigation, that I had cooperated, and that we had never redacted the emails.
There were also suspicions, I don't know that these surfaced in any official way, that Crew was either operating to help Democrats in the fall elections or that, you know, there was some sorts of collusion, you know, to try to assist the Democrats by bringing down Mr. Foley. Were those issues addressed by the IG as well?
The IG found that we had handed over the emails because we, as soon as we got them, and that we had done so because we found them troubling and disturbing, and we thought that they merited criminal investigation. So all of the folks who were saying that we were involved in some conspiracy with the Democrats are entirely disproved now. I mean, I, of course, always knew the truth, but it is very nice to see the Inspector General come out with a report because that's going to be, you know, and this is the Inspector General of the Republican Department of Justice, who has no reason to cover up for Crew, and for him to come out and say all this is going to make it really hard for folks to argue with.
Is Glenn Fine still the IG at the at Justice?
He is.
Yeah, okay. Because he's fairly credible in just, you know, based on previous investigations that he's conducted.
I think so, too. He's a straight shooter. You know, another interesting thing came out in this report, and this has gotten a little less coverage, but I think is equally to the cybercrime squad. And the Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez, has said that these internet crimes against children are one of the department's highest priorities. And yet it turns out that in the cyber crimes unit, they have all of 2.5 people devoted to looking at the use of the internet to exploit children, and that the supervisor of that section has absolutely no experience with the sexual exploitation of minors. She says that it was based on her experience that she decided not to do anything with these emails. Well, then the Inspector General dropped a footnote saying her experience is solely as a private, as a private lawyer in civil litigation practice.
Melanie, that is breathtaking because we've done some shows about this entrapment program that NBC Dateline does that's called To Catch a Predator.
Mm-hmm.
They have more people out there looking for, you know, these offenders who are using the Internet to try to lure kids for sex than the FBI does.
Oh, yes, by far. They literally only have 2.5 people who work on these issues over at the FBI, and they said that they never take tips from the public. The only way they get their cases are the ones they self-generate by luring people on the Internet, posing as young as minors, mm-hmm. and then occasionally by taking something from local law enforcement. So basically, they have no mechanism whatsoever to even investigate if a citizen says, hey, I think there's a problem.
Bizarre. Was that Scooter Libby who just walked? No. We're live in Washington, D.C. with Melanie Sloan here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, the Ethics Committee was pulled out of mothballs to rush through before the election this alleged investigation of the Foley case. And after the Democrats took over, we saw a little more activity to try to clean up some of the leftovers from the Republican era. Have you seen a shift yet regarding the Ethics Committee in the House?
No, sadly, there's been no shift in the Ethics Committee. It's, you know, this was the one committee in the House, though, that I wouldn't expect much of a shift because it was always 5-5. So it doesn't matter who's in charge. It's a completely bipartisan committee, equally split. Mm-hmm. So the makeup of the committee, the actual members on it, are changing a little. But the real question will be whether the fact that the Democrats have taken over will really change this bipartisan committee that's basically not been so interested in investigating misconduct by members of Congress.
Yeah, that's disappointing. One more question for you, Melanie. Dianne Feinstein, Senator from California, has pointed out that a number of U.S. attorneys have been forced out by Gonzalez in recent weeks. In particular, the woman who prosecuted Duke Cunningham in San Diego has been sacked. Do you have any comment on that? Do you see problems in the personnel, or is this politicization of these important posts?
Well, you know, it's twofold. First, I think it is troubling because Carol Lamb was not only had investigated Duke Cunningham, but there was still an ongoing criminal investigation, and it might have touched other member and still may touch other members of Congress, particularly from the California delegation who were on appropriations, who might have also been involved in that matter with Duke Cunningham. And so she was sacked, as were several other U.S. attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
I think, though, a lot of the reason may be that the Justice Department, that the president wants to put some of the president's friends in the positions of U.S. attorney. You know, he's not going to be able to make his friends federal judges anymore. And so it is nice to at least let somebody be a U.S. attorney for a while before the end of the administration. It's a nice feather in someone's cap.
All right. Well, I hope it's limited to that and that it's not an effort to kill some prosecutions or, you know, play some favorites in applying the law. Melanie, thanks for your work. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Have a good trip back.
Okay, thanks. Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Coming up next, Anton Gunn is going to join us, Executive Director of South Carolina Fair Share. Hold on. We'll continue in just a moment. You've got a question or comment, call me. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Live from Washington, it's the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive KRXA talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This week on Rock Roll and Real Estate, Tim Mankey, broker and president of TM Real Estate, will be filling in for the vacationing Michael Yesk. Tim and his team are experts in investing in the Dallas-Fort Worth and Austin real estate markets in Texas. For more information about Tim and his team, call toll-free 877-838-2200. That's 877-838-2200 for more information on these two great Texas markets. That and more this Sunday at 10 a.m. on Rock Roll and Real Estate.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from Radio Row at Health Action 2007. We're in Washington, D.C. at the historic Mayflower Hotel. Coming up shortly, we're going to meet the executive director and co-founder of Families USA. They've been working on health care issues for, well, it's sad to say how long they've been at it, 25 years, and really hoping for a sea change and a breakthrough in the near future here with the Democratic Congress and a president who is on the defensive and needs to score some points on domestic politics. So Ron Pollack will join us in about 10 minutes. Right now, Anton Gunn is with us. He was honored here at the event today for his work. He's executive director of South Carolina Fair Share. That's a statewide consumer group that investigates public policy, lobbies for reforms, and you focus on working families and people who are either in the middle class or hoping to get there. Welcome, Anton.
Thank you very much, Peter. Thanks for having me.
Now, I want to describe you for people because radio can't do you justice. You're a big man with a really big smile and a kind of captivating personality. You played football at the University of Southern California. And this past fall, you ran for the House of Representatives, and I heard you describe South Carolina's government as a Taliban government. Yes. What's that mean?
Well, for me, what it really means, it's where ideas aren't really allowed to flourish. And the few ideas that are allowed to flourish, they're very skewed and limited and only focus on a few people and really don't focus on the needs of everybody in the state. So sometimes it's very repressive. Sometimes it's disheartening to hear, you know, good ideas that get thrown in the trash for some skewed idea. For example, for the last 5 years, South Carolina Fair Share, as well as many other groups, Appleseed Legal Justice Center, AARP, we've all worked to try to raise our state cigarette tax. We have 7 cents per pack tax on cigarettes, the lowest in the nation.
Now, wait a minute. You're in a tobacco state. You want to tax the product?
Yes.
I mean, in California, we're the number one producer of marijuana, and we don't tax it.
Well, that's a little bit different. But, you know, we want to tax the product. I mean, think about it. North Carolina raises cigarette tax to 37 cents. Georgia raises to 35 cents.
California is like $2.50.
Exactly. New York is very high, $1.50. So, you know, a nominal increase makes sense. Anybody can say that. And the point is, we would say, you know, it makes sense to raise the cigarette tax and use the money that generates from that tax to go to health care. Common sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, our governor, who just got reelected by 55% of the vote, comes out and says, yes, I want to raise the cigarette tax. After 5 years of saying no, I don't want a cigarette tax. Says he wants to raise the cigarette tax, but he wants to use the money from the cigarette tax to give a tax cut to upper middle class or wealthy families, really. Bottom line is wealthy families in the state. And, it's nonsense. I mean, we got so many health conditions in our state that we need to improve. The number of children that 40,000 kids don't have access to health care at all right now.
Yeah.
And then there are others that can't even get any kind of coverage that are eligible for. So, you know, there are lots of things that we could do much better.
Would you like us to send Meathead out to South Carolina?
I think that we
Rob Reiner?
We'd take any help.
Rob got a tobacco tax passed in California that's earmarked for early childhood development.
Wow.
And it's pumping out almost $800 million a year.
That sounds like a good idea. We need to get Meathead over here.
Yeah. Now, you ran for that legislature.
Yes.
You came very close just in November. I've got in front of me you lost by 298 votes. Now, I got to ask you, Anton, electronic voting machines involved?
Yes.
Touchscreen machines?
Yes.
Got any doubts about the legitimacy of your loss?
Yes.
Tell me. Tell me.
Well, you know, the bottom line is, you know, this is the first year our state went to electronic voting machines statewide.
Mm-hmm.
And there were all kinds of reported problems in different counties across the state. We had one county that only, in one precinct, they only had 48 people that were registered to vote in that precinct.
Mm-hmm.
But 396 people cast a ballot.
And how do those ballots get split?
Right. Well, you know, they all go Republican. It's the bottom line.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, those elected officials and the candidates in that race protested, and so they're going to call for a new election. There was another county story that they didn't even have 4,000 people in the county, and they had 4,000 votes for the Republican that won. And I'm not saying that it's the Republicans doing this, but the machines are flawed, and we need to go back.
We haven't found a case where machines made mistakes and they benefited Democrats. And
right.
We've looked real hard.
Yeah,
hard.
I've heard the stories, and you know, we got to do something better about that. I mean, you know, if we're going to use electronic machines and give people a receipt, something that they can see that verifies who they voted for, if there's any kind of question or doubt. And you know, I do have some doubt about it, but I will say my first time running for office, losing out of 14,000 voters, only coming up 298 short after challenging a 12-year incumbent Republican in a majority Republican district and a guy that hadn't had opposition in 10 years, you know, I think I did a good job, and I am going to come back for more. I'm a competitor, a fierce competitor.
Yeah.
I like to win, and I think, you know, when you're talking about change, when you're talking about really moving, pushing the envelope, and actually really tearing it open and maybe throwing it off the table, you know, people can get excited about that, and I think that's what I showed in my race, is that people want change. We want something that's going to make our lives better, and it's not about right now. We got to figure out what we're going to do in the next 20 years in our country, in the next 20 years in South Carolina, and I'm not going to stand for it. I got a 2-year-old man, and I wanted to grow up and live a beautiful life. I want to live a better life than I live, but she's not going to grow up in the state the way it exists right now, and her dad and everybody that wants to get on board with this moving train and wants to live a revolution-driven life, they need to get on board, because we're going to make change happen.
Got about 30 seconds here. Do you think that we really are on the verge, that the window has opened for significant change in the healthcare system?
I do. I really feel like that the opportunity is now. We have to seize it. I mean, we have, you know, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama talking that national healthcare is something that we have to get done. And Barack even said yesterday that the next president has to get it done before the end of his first term.
Well, it was a little different. He said the next president will get it done.
We'll get it done. So, you know, I'm excited about that. And I think we all need to understand what we got to seize opportunity. We all got to get together. We got to organize. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got to be on the same page fighting for this.
Yeah.
We can get it done that way.
Anton, you're an inspiration.
Thank you very much.
I'm really glad to meet you, and
Thank
I know
you.
You're not going to stop. I don't have to tell you.
No doubt in my mind. I'll keep moving.
Anton Gunn, G-U-N-N, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter.
See you. Coming up next, Ron Pollock. He's the founder and executive director of Families USA. He'll be here next on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Washington, D.C.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Well, it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Could somebody testify lying before a grand jury? Doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I continue as your humble host, Peter B. 33 minutes past the hour. We're live from Washington, D.C. at Radio Row. Families USA has sponsored for the 25th year their Health Action event. This is Health Action 2007. Or I guess 25 years for the organization. The event's about 12 years. Is that right, Ron
That's
Pollack?
Right. Yeah? That's right.
And with us is Ron Pollack. He's the founding executive director of Families USA. And your focus is on the interests of health care consumers. And as I understand it from what I've gleaned here at this gathering, you're working to build coalitions to reform our health care system, but you don't lead with a packaged resolution. In other words, you don't have a flat commitment to single payer, although I'm guessing it might be your preferred approach, that you're working to find common ground. And I've heard you repeatedly cite that it's going to take a bipartisan approach, particularly in the United States Senate, to achieve any breakthroughs on the health care front.
Well, our interest is to achieve high-quality, affordable health coverage for everyone. And as you know, every effort to try and do that has been stymied, and we've had gridlock. And so we want to make sure that people don't just rigidly stick with one. You know, there are a lot of roads to Rome, and we don't want people to say, look, it's only one road, and if we don't take that road, we're not interested in getting to the final destination. And so we're trying to work with a wide variety of people. The people who come here are folks who we generally have contact with throughout the course of the year. We don't tell them you have to do it this way or that way, and they don't have to listen to us even if we did say that.
So there's no political orthodoxy?
Well, not from our standpoint. Mm-hmm. And in fact, last week, we at Families USA joined together with 15 other organizations that you can only characterize as strange bedfellows. You know, they really run the ideological spectrum and the political spectrum. But our view is, you know, when you got 47 million people in this country who are uninsured, we've got to really break this gridlock. And so we've tried to do something that was highly unusual, I think unprecedented. And we tried to mix and match a variety of different approaches that would be politically feasible.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to start this year with expanding coverage for America's children. That is something Congress has to deal with this year, because the program that covers children, specifically children, the state children's health insurance program, needs to be reauthorized this year for the first time in 10 years. So we want to make sure that the 9 million children who are uninsured get coverage as a result.
Mm-hmm. And do you see a new window of opportunity here?
No doubt. You know, for the decades where this has been debated, the people who wanted to achieve major change in America's healthcare system and get people covered really did it out of an impulse of altruism. Well, that's good, but, you know,
that personal virtue that Cheney derides?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. But as you know, Peter, self-interest is even stronger than altruism. And if you can combine self-interest and altruism, then you've got really powerful political force. And I think our nation is moving in this direction. People just don't think anymore that it's just the other guy or other woman who's in trouble. They're beginning to feel they're in trouble themselves. So,
And to put a name on it or a face on it, the real shift is that big business has recognized that it cannot accept these escalations of health care costs and insurance costs every year. And they're looking for a resolution to try to reduce their costs. Isn't that what's driving the breakthrough and permitting Republican leaders to look at new approaches?
Well, that's part of it. But what you see many businesses doing is, since they feel they can't afford these escalating costs, they're shifting more of those costs onto the shoulders of their workers. And so workers, if they continue to have health coverage, they're paying a higher portion of premiums, deductibles, co-pays, they're getting fewer services covered, fewer dependents are being covered. And so what used to be considered an issue for the poor or people who really were helpless, this is now reaching very deeply into the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that changes the political dynamic and makes this a compelling issue to deal with.
We're talking with Ron Pollack. He's a founding executive director of Families USA. He knows a lot about the health care issues, the politics of it. If you have a question or comment, he's with us for the rest of this hour, and you can join us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. Now, Ron, feel free to argue with me, disagree with me. One of the things that I see, again, related to the high cost that business incurs to cover health for its workers, is the crisis in Detroit. Yesterday, Ford posted the huge loss, I think $12.7 billion. That's just for one quarter. And the manufacturing base in this country, not only in Detroit but elsewhere, is under siege because this burden is very hard for these businesses to carry, particularly when compared to foreign competitors, even those who build plants in the United States who have younger workforces, not necessarily unionized, and therefore have lower costs of both pension and health. So when I see, you know, the prospect of another demand from Detroit for a bailout, like we gave Chrysler in the 1980s, and I'd like to give them a bailout in the form of universal health care, because if we did that, not only Detroit would be on a much better financial footing and competitive, but the entire manufacturing workforce in the United States would have better prospects for the future and less risk of offshore transfer of these jobs.
You know, and it's not just industries like the automobile industry. You know, take Starbucks. The CEO and chair of Starbucks, a guy named Howard Schultz, has been saying that the cost of health care coverage for his workers exceeds the cost of his purchase of coffee. That's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, businesses are feeling the pinch. Now, what I hope changes is that for many years, I think it was in businesses' self-interest to band together to get a change in America's healthcare system, get everyone covered. For family coverage today, the increase in premiums simply to pay for the uncompensated cost of the uninsured is about $1,000 a year. That's substantial.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, when a business provides coverage and its competitors do not, it puts them at a competitive disadvantage, and they wind up actually paying for the coverage of their competitors. One of the things that I have found most disappointing is that even though it is in the interest, self-interest, enlightened self-interest, of businesses, many of them have actually reacted more out of ideology than self-interest.
Can I give you an example?
Sure.
The grocery strike in Southern California 2 years ago. The big grocery chains banded together. They lost over $1 billion as they locked out their employees, and the key issues were health benefits. And this was explained by these companies as a reaction to the entry of non-union Walmart into the California market with its giant superstore groceries. And instead of spending that $1 billion that they absorbed as a loss during the lockout of their workers, as they reduced the benefits to their workers and in many respects, rolled back the gains that they had bargained for in their contracts over 20 years. They gave up raises and vacation in order to keep employer-paid health care. Well, that was, to me, a watershed moment, because if those same companies had spent some of that $1 billion to insure workers and some of it to lobby in Sacramento to create a level playing field that requires Walmart to give the same benefits as these union shops, then it would have been a win-win all the way around, and this very workforce would have more disposable income to spend at the grocery store.
Well, there's no doubt that what you see is some of these businesses are saying, we don't want to lobby either our state legislature or the Congress for change and have government help out in some way, out of fear that, you know, the government's going to get somehow into the healthcare industry and their industry is going to be next. And that's why I say ideology so far has trumped self-interest.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a call. Dave's on the line from Eureka. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Ron Pollack.
Hey, Peter and Ron. What I think is altogether obvious is that the main culprit, what is wrong with insurance in the United States, is that these very greedy corporatist insurance companies want to so maximize their profits for those at the top that they want to charge way beyond what they should and pay out almost nothing if they can avoid it. And so that's where we're losing it. The answer, as I see it, is to literally put every citizen on a Medicare system, and everybody would end up saving so much, because even if taxes had to go up, the $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 that you have to pay in health care would be eliminated.
Well, Dave, you make a great point, and I'll ask Ron to comment on this. Senator Barack Obama keynoted this event yesterday morning, and he pointed out that about 25% of the cost of health care is paperwork at the insurance companies. And if we can solve some of the security issues, we could convert to electronic files and records that could reduce that cost to the Medicare level. And, Ron, he cited that in single digits. It's a couple of percent, the cost of Medicare processing.
Well, Medicare costs, even before dealt with electronic billing, Medicare's administrative costs have always been considerably smaller. There are a number of reasons for it. Economies of scale are included in that. I don't think, as much as I would like to see electronic billing, I don't think that's going to, in some ways, actually, in the early years, it's going to cost more because you have to build the infrastructure to make that happen. Now, your caller is, in effect, suggesting let's have a system where everyone can either buy into Medicare or get some coverage in Medicare. Irrespective of the merits of that proposal, it's a tough political sell. And I think what we're going to need to do, if we're going to actually break the gridlock, we're going to have to do something both in the public sector and in the private sector. Because I'm afraid that given how divided government is, you know, even with the Democrats taking over both houses of Congress, they've done so by narrow margins.
Especially and we're gonna, in the Senate.
Especially in the Senate. And in the Senate, you need 60 votes to break a filibuster. You need 67 votes to overcome a veto. So it's clearly important that you've got to find some way of transcending ideology, and you're going to have to do something both in the public sector and the private sector. I think if you try and do it only in one, we're going to continue with gridlock.
All right. We'll take some more calls as we continue here. Ron Pollack is my guest. He's the founding executive director of Families USA. They have put together this important conference, Health Action 2007, and we're live in Washington, D.C. If you'd like to talk with Ron, you can get on the line right now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. You got that? 888-573-8372. About 15 minutes before the hour. We'll continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
1963, when Johnny came home with a gift for me, he said, I bought it for you because...
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
You got cooking. How's the back looking? Something up with me.
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. to sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Attorney Sean Mills.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on live from Washington, D.C. We're at the site of Health Action 2007, a conference put together by Families USA. The executive director, Ron Pollack, is with us. We're taking calls, too, if you want to join us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Let's talk to Lee in Phoenix. Welcome, Lee. You're on the air.
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi.
You know, this is a very important issue. And there's a lot. Give me a little bit to develop this.
Go right ahead.
There's sorcery and illusionism, you know, where there's always big money. Since the 50s, there's been an awful lot of money that's been available to the healthcare industry. And it's changed. I remember, going to the family doctor. The prices were not the same, and the modes of treatment were not the same. So right now we've got the drug industry, we've got the machine industry who makes all these devices and tests. There's an incredible amount of money that's wasted actually making people more sick than what they would be if they switched to what is coming into more recognition as being more effective, and that's the natural method of healing. Now the insurance companies right now will not, I mean, they very reluctantly fund naturopathic doctors, chiropractors. I'm a release therapist. I can't get insurance, get paid for by insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But these treatment modalities are much more effective. And, you know, I switched 6 months ago to a vegetarian raw food diet. And I'm 58 years old, and I haven't felt better in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
so you favor a holistic, natural-based approach, but you do recognize that you also need traditional medicine, or...
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Now, see, here's what's missing. There's need for surgery from time to time, but, you know, when you eat wholesome foods and when you watch what you do, when you do have a doctor, which I think the osteopathic doctors are are much more effective than allopathic, because they do have this approach. But essentially, if people did this, and this is documented on websites, person after person who's gone into a more healthy diet, exercise, don't need all of this money that most other people are required from their health programs.
All right, Lee, I got you. Let me get a comment from Ron Pollack. Ron?
Well, there's no question. There's much that can be learned in terms of a variety of different approaches, and certainly people should take responsibility for their health. They should eat well, they should exercise, they shouldn't smoke, they should wear seat belts. These are all things that all of us should be doing. With respect to some of the non-traditional approaches, I follow some of them myself, and some are good and some are not so good, and so we've got to be careful. As is true in terms of traditional Western medicine, some things are not done with the quality that's necessary. Some of the natural approaches can work and deserve a chance to work, must be tested to see whether, in fact, they truly work, and some simply don't. So I don't want to...
But does Lee have a point that there's a bias against some of these methods?
There's no question there is. I think there needs to be rigorous testing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good both for traditional medicine and for natural medicine. And clearly, I think if you did that, we'd find there are a whole lot of things in natural medicine that work and are worth trying.
Yeah. Lee, thank you for the call today. I appreciate that.
Good point.
Now, I want to turn... I'm sorry, Lee. I don't have time for a further point, but I appreciate your call. I really do. I want to turn to the speech yesterday, the presentation by Dr. Uwe Reinhardt from Princeton University. He's an economist, gave a great presentation. What I learned was that the president, in describing his proposal for the standard deduction for health insurance, left out the idea that, well, there's actually a tax increase involved there, where employees who get their benefits from their employer will have that added to their W-2s and have to pay a tax subject to this deduction on their health care benefits. And he also offered, I think, a strong indictment of the health savings account, which, as he described, is great for wealthy people. Those who have options and, you know, who have the disposable income to absorb a high deductible insurance policy of $5,000 or $10,000. He gave a great example of a mom of three, single parent, earns $25,000 a year. And if she gets hit with a catastrophic medical event that costs $10,000 deductible, with the new bankruptcy law, she's really up against the wall. So talk a little bit about the president's speech and whether you see any of his proposals are threads that you can work with, or are you just happy that he brought up the subject?
Well, I'm happy he brought up the subject. I'm unhappy about the way he wants to move that subject. Let me take one portion of his proposal that he's touting as being a major benefit, and I think what you'll see is it's fool's gold. It's really not going to do much. He proposes a new deduction, $15,000 for a family, $7,500 for an individual. Now, this is a deduction. It's not a credit.
Right.
And so the value to you is based on your tax bracket. The higher your tax bracket, the greater the value. So let's take a family with $40,000 of income, and they get a new $15,000 deduction. At a 15% tax bracket, they're going to get a tax benefit of $2,250. Now, the average cost of family health coverage today, just the premiums,
right,
is $12,000. So you've got to pay $10,000 out of pocket, just in premiums, in addition to deductibles and copays. It simply leaves it unaffordable.
Yeah, but it helps the have-mores.
Well, it does. Let me just say, for those who are the have-nots, it's like throwing a 10-foot rope to somebody in a 40-foot hole. It simply doesn't work. Now, take the those who've got money. Take a family that earns $200,000 of income. That $15,000 credit for them is worth $4,950.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, that lower-income family, which is the kind of family that is uninsured today,
right,
if they don't buy insurance and pay the other $10,000, they don't get this tax deduction.
Mm-hmm.
So the overwhelming majority of those folks are going to get zero. And meanwhile, the affluent people who don't need a tax break are going to get a big tax break.
Mm-hmm.
This is all part of the same cloth of what the president has proposed with respect to his tax policy.
Right.
Give to those people that don't need, and don't give to those people who do need.
Now, in California, our governor came in during the recall process and immediately led a repeal of SB 2, John Burton's law that would have required coverage for most by most employers. Then he vetoed Sheila Kuehl's bill in the past legislative cycle that was not as strong as SB 2. Now he has come around and proposed covering every Californian except undocumented residents. And I am impressed, in a way. But because of what I just cited, the history of his veto and repeal of the previous measures, I'm concerned that he may not really have the commitment to pull all this together. What's your take on Schwarzenegger's proposal so far?
Well, first, let me just make one, if you don't mind, minor correction.
Go ahead.
With respect to children, he's actually including in his proposal undocumented.
That's true.
And that's rather significant.
Mm-hmm. But he initially said it was universal, was going to cover everybody residing in California, and then he backpedaled on adult undocumented.
Well, that's true. That's true.
And I have 45 seconds, so go ahead.
Well, I think what he's doing is by no means perfect, but it's a big step in the right direction. And, of course, if California does something, it could have a big effect all across the country because states do look at California. So I think there's more good to it than bad. There are a lot of things I would change in his proposal, especially provide more subsidy help for those people at lower income levels. But I think it's a good step in the right direction.
Great. Well, Ron, thank you for joining us tonight. Thanks for a great event here. And most importantly, thanks for fighting for us on these health care issues.
Well, thanks so much for inviting me, Peter. I look forward to seeing you again.
Very good. Ron Pollack, Families USA. We're live from Washington, D.C. Next, Alisa Simon's going to join us from Philadelphia. And as we press
again, everybody out there in Radio Land, I just want to let you know that Peter is not live. This is a replay. I'm the producer, Matt Renner. We were trying to connect with Brad Friedman in Phoenix, Arizona, but we were having some pretty serious technical issues and weren't able to. So we'll be right back with another hour of a replay from the Peter B. Collins Show. Stay with us.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
In Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Matt, I really believe that pagan and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I want the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government. And so
Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Killer storms in Florida devastate hundreds of homes.
It's gone. Everything's gone.
U.S. intelligence says it's worse than a civil war in Iraq. I'm Mark Noller at the White House.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It came up suddenly in the middle of the night.
It sounded like hail. Then you heard a train. And then the windows imploded. Then the wall came down. And then it was over.
As quickly as that, lives and homes in Central Florida were shattered. At least 19 people were killed. Chris Patton is spokesman for Lake County's Emergency Management Agency.
They've been discriminating in mobile homes and site-built homes and churches and commercial buildings. They did a number on a lot of structures.
Pastor Larry Lynn's church was built to withstand winds of 150 miles an hour. It served as a hurricane shelter.
We had great confidence in the integrity of the building, but evidently something greater than it come along.
The building is demolished. CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts has more.
This deadly mix of thunderstorms and tornadoes struck Central Florida at 3:15 a.m. It was pitch black. Most were asleep. By daybreak, the destruction was breathtaking. The loss of life and property, heartbreaking. Survivors shed tears, shared stories.
We heard it coming, got up, grabbed our two-month-old son, went to the bathroom, ducked down, heard the window shatter and thought that was going to be it.
The part of the door caved in on me, and then the roof was gone.
The small town of Paisley got it worst. At least 13 people killed.
Authorities are still searching for bodies, hoping to find survivors. Now this.
Did you know your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury may be trying to tell you something? Just look at your oil change sticker or your odometer. They tell an important message, when to change your oil. And when it is time, be sure to visit your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
I can help. I got two strong arms. I can help.
Right now, the Works Fuel Saver Package is just $36.95 or less. That's a Motocraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, fluid top-off, multi-point inspection, and more. Just $36.95. And no appointment is necessary. Now that's convenient. Genuine Ford parts. Expert service. Low prices. We've got everything you need.
You need a hand. I can assure you this. I can help.
genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, and diesel vehicles extra. Disposal fee may apply. See participating dealership for service hours and details through 31807.
Civil war, two words the Bush administration has been avoiding, jump off the page of the latest national intelligence estimate on Iraq.
The consensus from America's intelligence community is that the military and political situation in Iraq has never been more grim, and the prospects for victory are bleak. The president's national security advisor, Steve Hadley, doesn't dispute the assessment, but makes clear that Mr. Bush still stands by his strategy of sending in more troops.
It's going to be hard, and the president made it very clear it's going to be hard, and there's no assurance for a success.
Hadley still thinks it's wrong to call the Iraqi conflict a civil war, though the intelligence report says the situation is that, and then some. Mark Knoller, CBS News. The White House.
Pentagon Chief Robert Gates discussed the new strategy today. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has that.
The defense secretary insists there's no hidden motive for the Iraq troop surge.
We are not planning for a war with Iran.
Iranians involved in bomb building in Iraq are being targeted, he says. Gates acknowledges he'll be deploying up to 4,200 support troops on top of the 21,500 troops announced for the surge, but he rejects a congressional study that says the additional troop levels and costs will be much higher. As for the new government intelligence estimate that finds that parts of Iraq's violence can be labeled civil war, Gates agrees with the report's conclusion that the term doesn't accurately explain the overall situation.
It oversimplifies. It's a bumper sticker answer to what's going on in Iraq.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
CBS News has learned that in addition to 21,500 combat troops going to Iraq, the Pentagon is sending 1,800 support troops. Risking the wrath of his fellow Christian conservative, Texas Governor Rick Perry has issued an executive order requiring all girls entering the sixth grade to be vaccinated against the virus that causes cervical cancer. Spokeswoman Krista Moody.
This isn't any sort of political move. This is a move to prevent cervical cancer and to protect health.
Because human papillomavirus is sexually transmitted, critics say a vaccination requirement condones premarital sex and interferes with parents' rights. But Perry says Gardasil is no different from the vaccine that protects against polio. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Get 2 full days of store-wide savings at Kohl's 2-Day Sale this Friday and Saturday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Save 40 to 60% on hundreds of new arrivals like Mrs. Sportswear, men's, juniors, and kids' apparel, family shoes, sheets, towels, frames, and more. Save 50% on select kitchen electrics and floor care. Plus, shop our Gold Star clearance merchandise and get incredible savings on select winter apparel and home items this Friday and Saturday only at Kohl's 2-Day Sale. Kohl's. Expect great things.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yep, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
We launch another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Our producer, Matt Renner, is recuperating at home. He had a little surgery the other day.
That's fine, actually. He's sitting behind the mic. This is a replay of the Peter B. Collins Show. And, again, Matt is fine. Don't call in and be worried about him because I've recovered at this point since this is an old show. We'll get back to the show. Here you go.
888-573-8372. A couple of quick program notes. I'll be here on Monday. And then Tuesday, you'll hear what we call the best of Peter B. Collins, replay shows. As I travel to Washington, D.C., we'll get reaction to the President's State of the Union message on Wednesday next week. Then we'll be covering the Families USA Healthcare Conference in Washington next Thursday. And on Friday from Washington, we will give you a preview of the big peace march scheduled for D.C. on Saturday, January 27th. And in fact, more on that later this hour from David Swanson of Democrats.com after DowningStreet.com and many other websites. We'll give you that update. Also later this hour, Doug Ferrari will join us. His latest CD is a comedy collection called The Best of His NSA Wiretaps. And Doug's going to muse with us a little bit about the NSA program and the legal about-face from the Attorney General in the Senate hearings yesterday. And as usual, next hour, Brad Friedman will join us here to talk about election protection and more here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Joining us now from Grants Pass, Oregon, is Marla Benoit. She is the director of InfoWatch.org. And I met Marla last September at Camp Democracy in Washington. Marla, nice to talk with you again.
Hi, Peter.
And thanks for overcoming flat tires and other impediments to join us on the show today.
My pleasure.
Now, as you know, I have a deep concern about the way our military has utilized depleted uranium munitions over the past 15 years. For me, the alarm was sounded during the first Gulf War, and I consider DU to be a weapon of mass destruction, and I believe that it was not only politically incorrect, but a moral error to use these munitions in Iraq, given what we learned in the first Gulf War. Give us a quick definition from your point of view of what depleted uranium is and why it is seen as an enhancer of munitions of various types, bullets, tank rounds, etc.
Sure. Depleted uranium is created during the uranium enrichment process, which they use to develop nuclear fuel, for the nuclear fuel rods. So that yields depleted uranium, and it needs to be disposed of. It's highly radioactive. It's a waste product at that point. So the Department of Defense discovered that it, in fact, is a superior metal for manufacturing weapons. And they started to use depleted uranium as a metal casing and a tip casing on bullets that are called depleted uranium penetrators. So they're used in that capacity, and they're also used in bunker buster bombs. And they are used conversely on tanks to prevent bullets from penetrating into tanks. So it has, depleted uranium projectiles have an armor-piercing capability. So in other words, typically when a bullet hits its target, it blunts at the target. But the depleted uranium projectile, again, it just bores through metal. It has armor-piercing capability.
Because it becomes superheated, right?
Yes. When it hits its target, it's pyrophoric, and it explodes.
Ooh, pyrophoric. Can you define that?
Well, yes, and this is really where some of the very serious problems are created with depleted uranium. Because, you know, again, on the battlefield, it's a wonderful weapon, and this is why the Department of Defense prefers its use and really doesn't want to cease manufacture of it.
Now, personally, Marla, I would never use wonderful and weapon in the same phrase.
But you're right. But I try to tell, well, people often ask me, they say, this stuff is really horrible and very frightening. Why does the Army use it? And, you know, and from their perspective, I think that's how they
It is efficient and highly lethal.
Yes. Well, that's probably a much better way of describing it, and that's what it is. And when it hits its target, becomes pyrophoric, and explodes, it creates a fine micron dust. And this dust is then either inhaled by individuals, animals, it seeps into ground soil, into groundwater. And it's highly radioactive, and it has a half-life of 4.5 billion years. So this is not a substance that can be easily disposed of in any means. And also, when you then go to the next level of trying to initiate cleanup and cleanup projects, the United Nations Environmental Program has attempted this in Bosnia and Kosovo, and they claim that they cleaned up depleted uranium that they found from that conflict. But, you know, it's not easy to do if it's a fine micron dust that's been blowing around in the atmosphere. Often, well, I shouldn't say often, but it has been noted that DU has been located outside of the battlefields of Kosovo and Bosnia, many miles away in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So these are, you know, some of the critical issues that surround just the immediate use and contact of depleted uranium.
Marla Benoit with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you have a question or comment, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, let me be kind of nationalistic about this for a moment and just focus on its impact on our troops who use depleted uranium munitions.
Right.
And then we can talk about what happens to innocent civilians or even the soldiers of our enemies. So
okay.
What is the scientifically defined impact to date? There's a great deal of controversy because returning military veterans from Iraq who describe certain symptoms have often had those descriptions dismissed
by military
doctors.
For example, the first Gulf War, a lot of the veterans, and I don't have those figures in front of me, but there are thousands of veterans, have complained over the years, and many have died of unexplained causes. But there have been complaints that range from chronic fatigue, headaches, joint aches, muscle aches. These are symptoms that are difficult to pinpoint with a specific illness. But a lot of those troops that served in Gulf War I were very ill. And so we are seeing the same type of illness now happening with some Gulf War veterans of this conflict.
And Marla, just to put a number on it, in the first Gulf War, aren't doesn't the data show that several hundred thousand of the veterans of that conflict
yes.
have some sort of Gulf War syndrome?
Yes, I believe that is in the several hundred thousands. And,
okay.
and again, it's very difficult to make a direct connection between perhaps their illnesses and symptoms to depleted uranium contamination. And unfortunately, there have not been enough studies to date that can try to create that causal connection. What we do know about this recent conflict and invasion in Iraq is that there is a group in New York, a police regiment, the 442nd, and they returned back to New York in April of 2004. And nine of them all were severely ill. So they went in to get some testing, and the Army tested them with a traditional urine sample test, and it did not show that they had levels of depleted uranium. But somehow Juan Gonzalez from the New York Daily News got involved, and he arranged for the private testing through the Uranium Medical Research Center. And they have what's called a mass spectrometry technology that is very sophisticated. And it's quite a process, but they have a way of doing a much more refined urine sample test. So they tested all those soldiers, and in fact, all those soldiers showed to have high levels of uranium contamination.
And what about birth defects? I've heard there is a spate of birth defects to the children Iraqi war vets.
Well, Gerard Matthews, who was one of these police soldiers, his daughter was born with an actual birth defect to her hand. She's practically missing her hand.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one that I'm very familiar with, that particular case. And, of course, it was a little more high profile because it received media attention, but
mm-hmm.
unfortunately not enough. But there are, a lot of soldiers complaining of unexplained illness and trying to get tested. The Uranium Medical Research Center offers private testing, which costs roughly $800 to $1,000, so not everyone has the resources always for this option. But, you know, they do have the most sophisticated testing methods available.
And the website for the Uranium Medical Research Center is umrc.net. Uranium Medical Research Center, umrc.net.
Yeah, and they have a very extensive questionnaire that helps people go through that process to determine if perhaps they were exposed or experiencing some symptoms.
All right, Marla, we got to go to a break. We'll pick up there as we continue. Marla Benoit is our guest. Her last name is spelled B-E-N-O-I-S-T, and she's with InfoWatch. They're on the web at infowatch.org. We'll continue our conversation about depleted uranium, and you can join us at 888-5-PETER-B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Well, once again, good afternoon. I'm Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540. It's out to Monterey, eastbound on Highway 68 at San Venancio. We had a problem there yesterday, and we have another one today. Yesterday was an accident right in the middle of the rush hour. Today it's a stall. It's a bus reportedly stalled in the middle of the intersection. In Marina, northbound 1 before 1st Avenue, a stall blocking the right lane there, and slow and go as usual on the Fishhook Connector from southbound 17 over to southbound 1, and this time all the way through Aptos. And that word is brought to you by Welch's 100% Grape Juice, a diet rich in natural antioxidants is good for your heart. And Welch's 100% Grape Juice is loaded with them. Help protect your heart. Drink Welch's 100% Grape Juice. I'm Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540. a war that leaves a legacy for 4.5 billion years. That's after the troops pull out. We're talking about America's use of depleted uranium, most recently in Iraq, but it appears that it's been used in other places. Many people link it to Gulf War syndrome from the first Gulf War in the early 1990s. Marla Benoit is an advocate and an activist trying to draw attention to these issues, and I'm really glad you're there, Marla, because this story continues to be blacked out in most media in this country. They just don't even acknowledge, even if they will admit that we've used DU munitions, they don't acknowledge the impact.
No, they really don't. And a lot of this information gets suppressed in various ways or discounted. So, you know, that's why it's important, I think, that we just keep up the educational campaign, you know, either through radio programs and other forms of disseminating this information. Because I find when I give these talks and people learn about this, that they really want to take it to another level. And there's some good activist actions I can tell you about, too, today.
All right. Well, why don't we do that right now? Because I next want to talk about the impact on Iraqis and then talk about a few other issues.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you about two organizations that I am linking up with this year. And one is Christian Peacemaker Teams, which I think some people are familiar with their work. And the other is the Stop the Merchants of Death campaign, which is a subgroup of War Resisters League. Both have some very impressive and effective actions against DU weapons manufacturers, specifically Alliant Tech Systems, which is responsible for manufacturing the largest amount of ammunition in the country. And it appears that they have most of the contracts to manufacture depleted uranium weapons as well. So both of these organizations have very well-targeted approaches and plans at Alliant Tech Systems to try to encourage them for some discussion about DU weaponry with the hopes that it would lead eventually to a ceasing of the manufacturing. Mm-hmm. So they're ambitious projects and programs, but also both organizations, I think, really retain the ability to communicate very effectively, because you can imagine what it's like going to these multi-million dollar weapons manufacturers and asking them to stop making their best seller.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really, I think, a huge uphill battle, but I have a lot of faith in these two groups. So I'll be linking up with them this year, you know, talking a lot about the work they're doing and hoping to recruit new activists to these programs, because mm-hmm. that's what it really takes, is just that grassroots support.
Now,
so that's a couple of things going on.
Great. And Marla, in the information you sent me to update on DU, you have a figure here that 800 tons of DU munitions documented to date were used in Iraq. Is that the best estimate?
Yes, that's the one that I've seen used. You know, it's quite possible that more depleted uranium was exploded in Iraq. I think one of the problems we're really up against in this investigative work is that we can't accurately determine how much DU has been used, because mm-hmm. we have to get the information from the Department of Defense, and that's not easy to do.
Yeah.
And Afghanistan has really been left out of this picture, you know, publicly also about depleted uranium. You hear some reference to Afghanistan, but a great deal of depleted uranium has also been exploded in Afghanistan.
Well, and we had more air raids over Afghanistan last year than we did Iraq. Many people aren't aware of that. Now, time is tight. Let me turn to the impact on Iraqis, in particular Iraqi civilians. What is the extent of the identifiable impact of our DU usage?
Well, the Iraqi doctors have been promoting some, doing some very important study work over the years through the sanctions period and even up until now, since the first Gulf War, when they started seeing a spike in birth defects and birth abnormalities, a 300% increase, which is a lot. And so they started researching at that time to try to figure out what was causing it. And there is not a definitive study to date that links depleted uranium with these birth defects. But it's strongly believed that the depleted uranium is responsible. And also, in the literature and the video work that I use in my presentations, one is a 12-minute video taken in Iraqi Children's Hospital in Basra. And it clearly shows these children suffering from incredible abnormalities of tumors and leukemia. These are you typically wouldn't see something at this advanced stage.
And Marla, I just have time for one more question.
Sure.
Is there a concern that DU was used in the interchange, the war between Israel and Hezbollah this past summer?
Yes, there is, and I've been working on that today and found a very interesting article and website that's talking about this, and Dr. Chris Busby has been writing on this topic, and he conducted two soil sample tests from two bombed areas in southern Lebanon.
I'm going to have to stop us there, but thank you for bringing this information forward. I know for some people it's the first time. Infowatch.org, is that a good website?
Oh, it's actually InfoMission.
InfoMission.
InfoMission.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Fill in the blanks. This is Dave Ruiz on the CBS Radio Network. Fill in the blanks, the feature where I read a story we've all heard so many times now that every single one of you can fill in the
blanks.
Right. Today's story, Groundhog Day. The second day of February is
Groundhog Day.
And today, the groundhog
did not see his shadow.
Which, according to tradition, means that
winter is almost over.
No. No. Let's try that again. Today is
Groundhog Day,
and the groundhog
did not see his shadow,
which means that
spring is just around the corner.
We're crying out loud. All right, one more time. Today is
Groundhog Day,
and the groundhog
did not see his shadow,
which means that
mankind is to blame for global warming.
Yes, finally. And that means intensified
droughts,
more extreme
heat waves,
and that
spring is just around the corner.
Yes, only this time in
Greenland.
Yes, and
permanently.
Right. According to most scientists, the one spot on Earth where global warming is not a factor is
the White House.
Because that's the one place where everyone
watches the Hallmark Channel.
As for the rest of us, in 50 years, we'll all be driving
a puny little hybrid car
shaped like
a slug.
Right, because it leaves behind less
greenhouse gas.
Only a little
slime trail.
And with everyone driving tiny cars, it means that in the future, the only way to prove your manhood on the way to work will be
to sire a love child.
Which, of course, will lead to
overpopulation
and a further
rise in sea level.
Yes, exactly. However, on the bright side, a higher sea level should
wash away all the slime trails.
That's right. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging. And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial. Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Say, you know, they really listen.
Hello. Say, I just called you to say I love you.
I love you
because you really listen.
Really listen.
Now when I'm on the phone, well, I never feel alone, 'cause you're out there with your headphones, and you really listen.
Oh yeah, they really listen. Doug Ferrari joins us on the program right now. His new comedy CD is called The Best of His NSA Wiretaps. Doug was a winner of the San Francisco stand-up comedy competition sometime last century. How you doing today, Doug?
Great, Peter. They're listening right now.
Oh, yes, they are. And we know that we have a minder. We don't actually know his name, but we nicknamed him Benny. And
That's right.
Benny's over there at the NSA. He's got to listen to every minute of the Peter B. Collins show on those little earbuds. And we like to drive him crazy with the woody sound from my sound effects library. And we saw this week a stunning turnabout from the Attorney General, who now says that they're going to comply with the law and give us an NSA spying program that's been approved by the top secret FISA court. Doesn't that make you feel safer?
Well, Bush says that he wants to follow the Constitution, and that is good news because I didn't know we still had the Constitution.
Yes, I guess that is the encouraging part of this. But, you know, what they're saying is that everything they did without a warrant was legal, and now that everything they do with a warrant is going to be legal. And it makes me just want to announce that I've stopped robbing banks, Doug.
Yeah, well, I listen to people's phone calls every day in movies, at restaurants, on the street, on the bus.
Yeah.
I mean, does it really take billions of dollars? These people talk at full volume. And so first of all, we have no privacy left in this country. Second of all, we've become an incredibly rude country. At least Japan now has booths for people to sit in when they're on their cell phone, but we don't, so we have to hear it at full volume. Third of all, they're wasting their money taping these calls because none of these people ever have anything to say. I'm on the bus, honey. I'm 2 blocks from home. Okay, I'm walking up to the door now. Okay, I'm going to ring the doorbell, you know, and it's, you know, if they really, you know, saved the money from all those minutes that they're buying, they probably could afford a car.
Yeah.
But no, they sit on the bus. And now, of course, that Bush is going to use the courts. He wants to hire attorneys and judges without confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, judges are a problem. Attorneys are a problem because they are threatening attorneys.
Right.
Of course, they're somebody, I don't know what his name is, just threatened any law firm that defends anybody from Gitmo.
That is,
saying that
that is
they should
Charles,
be boycotted.
Charles Stimson is his name.
Yes.
And that was a kind of ugly, bare-knuckled threat where he went on a radio station in Washington, D.C., and kind of said that corporate CEOs should think twice about hiring corporate law firms that also provide pro bono representation for Gitmo detainees. That's fascist in my book, Doug.
Yeah, who we call these terrorists. And, of course, there are probably no terrorists in Gitmo. There's just some cab drivers and some people that they picked up. And, you know, what they've done now is they've taped 1.8 trillion of our phone calls, and they said that they're only taping calls from Al-Qaeda. But with that many phone calls, apparently everybody in America is calling Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
And that's why Al-Qaeda has not attacked us again, because they're on the phone all the damn time. Apparently Al-Qaeda is now comprised entirely of 14-year-old girls. Yep.
Well, they don't
have any translators to pick, you know, they don't have any Arabic translators in the military because some of them were gay. So now they've got about three translators. So they have 1.8 trillion calls. They'll never have the money or time to listen to them. And secondly, they don't have the translators because half of them are going to be in Spanish and 16 other languages.
Yeah, you've got that right. Hey, Doug, hold on, because Dave's calling from Eureka. Let's see what he's got to add to this. Dave, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Doug Ferrari.
Well, my firsthand observation on this, Doug, is that the administration that we have now is pretty criminal in so many different ways, and they don't like free speech at all. And so they do assign their Patriot Act high-tech types to wherever that may be going on, or to those people who they regard as troublesome, who would expose their conduct. So if you go on some of the progressive chat rooms right now, you may find 2, 3, 4, 5 of them there to disrupt, there to confront anybody that is exposing the administration. And it's a reality. If anyone believes for a moment Mr. Gonzalez's statement that, okay, we'll go on, it ain't going to happen. They're still right there right now, just like they never. Gonzalez just said his nice things to placate people.
Well, he had his fingers crossed, you know how that is.
Well, yeah, he didn't say anything. He said that he wasn't allowed to reveal any classified information. Okay, they're taping phone calls. Everybody, every terrorist in the world knows that. They don't use the phone. They use couriers on donkeys. They use untraceable phones. They use old forms of personal messaging services. And with our billions of dollars of the technology, somehow Al Jazeera has a new Bin Laden tape every week. Nobody knows how it gets there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bin Laden, who we're supposed to have captured by now, has more videos now than Adam Sandler. And
that is a sad commentary.
But let's not give anything away to the terrorists.
Right.
So Gonzalez really said nothing. I think he's more general than attorney, and he's going to have his day because he and Rumsfeld created the torture policy.
Well, let's reserve the Ocean View Suite at Guantanamo for Alberto Gonzalez.
Yeah, they're not going to close Guantanamo because they've got to have room. You know, if Bush and Cheney, you know, this was a part. It's been said on the news this week that if this was a parliamentary
system,
run country,
uh-huh.
Bush and Cheney would have had to step down about 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and Nancy Pelosi would be president. But we don't have a parliamentary procedure.
Anyway, we could fix that over the weekend?
There's going to be pure pain for Bush and Cheney for the next 2 years, so we can at least look forward to that.
Mm-hmm. Now, Doug, when you look at this whole NSA program and this incredible focus on, you know, trying to look at the day-to-day activities of Americans, do you see the civil liberties issue, or do you see simply that it's a wasted effort? Because they could go through my trash, they could monitor all of my phone calls and intercept my emails, And they'll never come up with anything credible that they could use to arrest me or prosecute me. But I care more about the big issue of our Constitution and the rights that we are entitled to. But there seem to be so many people who say, oh, I don't have anything to hide. Go ahead and look.
Yeah, I think everybody thinks that they're listening to somebody else. But Americans don't seem to be very interested in privacy or very knowledgeable about their own rights. As Keith Olbermann did on Countdown, he showed the rights that are now non-existent, and it ended up being a bill of rights.
He
had one right left, and that was the right not to have soldiers stay at our house. That was it.
Yeah.
The other rights are all gone. But do Americans care? No. And I think shows like yours should make them care. We should have some privacy left. I mean, I put the National Security Agency logo on the front of my CV,
mm-hmm.
so I expect to be strip searched next time I take a flight somewhere.
Doug, where can people find your new CD?
On DougFerrari.com. It is available for sale. There are also many columns of comedy there that they can read, and there's a lot of other fun stuff. There's now audio and video.
Wow.
So please go to DougFerrari.com, and I hope I'll be talking to you again soon, and hopefully playing Monterey in the near future.
Great, Doug. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Peter.
Great to talk with you.
Keep watching the sky.
Oh, I sure will. Doug Ferrari's new CD, the best of his NSA wiretaps. And go to DougFerrari.com. There are two R's and then one after that. F-E-R-R-A-R-I. And I did want to mention, somebody called and asked us to repeat the website for the uranium.
Just want to let everyone out there know that we're going to be live with Brad for the last hour. Brad from Brad Blog will be on in the last hour of the Pee Wee Collins Show, coming up in about 15 minutes.
RC.net, and I hope that's helpful to you. And, yeah, that's pretty much what I have right now. Let's see who's on the line from Arcata. I think it's Marianne. Hello, Marianne. Welcome.
Oh, yes, hello, Peter B. Well, I just thought I'd get in here before you leave for Washington.
Oh, I just hung up on her as I was trying to clear that other line. Marianne, call us right back. I want to hear what you have to say. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. Coming up after our next break, David Swanson is going to join us from Washington, D.C., and give us a preview of the events of January 27th. They're trying to stage the biggest protest march since we took to the streets before the invasion of Iraq in 2003. And I just want to get the word out. Hope as many people as possible can participate in this. That's coming up on January 27th. And Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com will be with us next hour as usual. So, Marianne, if you're not too upset with me, call back 888-5-PETER-B, and we'll talk to you before we go into our next segment here. 15 minutes before the hour, we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hey everybody, this is Larry from Acme Coffee Roasting Company in Seaside, and I want to know if you're tired of wading through hacky sackers and laptop zombies just to receive a mediocre cup of joe by some underwhelmed employee somewhere. Well, you come on down to Acme Coffee Roasting Company. Meet the local hardworking folks all around you. We roast the coffee every day. We're owner-operated and totally qualified. Why don't you come on down and see how we turned a little alleyway in Seaside, California into a place to grab a good cup of joe. At the corner of Broadway and Contra Costa, come on down, my friends. Just drink it. Resist corporate coffee.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Foods. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
David Swanson will join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show to update us on the events planned for January 27th, a big protest march expected in Washington, D.C. to bring our troops home from Iraq. But first, I fumbled a few minutes ago and hung up on Marianne from Arcata. My apologies, Marianne, and nobody else to blame. It was me.
Okay, well, I'm glad to be right back. So I'll tell you here just as quickly as I can, because I think that by now it's time for the administration to cancel the contracts with Halliburton and their subs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they made millions in profits, and that's because they bring in cheap labor from Asia, these third country nationals, and they treat them miserably, low wages. They put them up in overcrowded trailers. And on the other hand, American employees over there that work for American contractors, yeah, they do the same kind of work, you know, truck driving, carpentry, and they can make up to $80,000 to $100,000 a year. So what we should do is give that money to Iraqi employees working for Iraqi companies.
Mm-hmm.
And if the people out there see that their own people are getting work and getting paid for it, you know, I'm sure they'll give up the insurgents.
All right. I think that's a great idea, and I thank you for the call.
Okay.
All right. Now to David Swanson in Washington, D.C. He is one of the folks who helped to create Camp Democracy, where we broadcast last September. He helped start the website after DowningStreet.org, Democracy.com, Democrats.com, ImpeachPact.org. What am I missing, David?
Oh, it's an endless list. The good one for the march right now is UnitedForPeace.org.
Mm-hmm. And tell us what's planned for Saturday, January 27th on the Mall in Washington.
Well, we are going to try to get George W. Bush to say what you just said about hanging up on Mary. Nobody else to blame. It was me. You know, those words have not left his mouth in his lifetime, as far as we know. So we're marching to end the war, and many of us are marching to advance impeachment.
Well, apparently you missed the interchange on 60 Minutes last Sunday because Bush admitted to two mistakes. One was Abu Ghraib, which he didn't pronounce correctly, and the other was his language about, you know, bring him on. That was all he could enumerate when he was asked to specify what he meant by his bland acknowledgement that mistakes have been made.
Yeah, but, you know, then when he got so much praise after his speech for admitting mistakes, the way it was spun a lot in the media was that he was admitting not having sent enough troops earlier. Mm-hmm. His mistake was not to have done exactly what he now wants to do. It was kind of a convenient mistake to have made, but but you're absolutely right. He said he did something wrong, and he should get credit for that. He's got a long ways to go, though.
Yes, he does.
And so we're going to have a huge march. We're going to have a rally at 11 o'clock on Saturday in front of the U.S. Capitol. We're going to march around the Capitol. We may stop by Fox News and say hi. And on Sunday, we're going to have trainings and workshops about cutting off the money for the war and advancing investigations towards impeachment of the president and the vice president. And I would throw the attorney general in there. And on Monday, the 29th, we are all going to be lobbying our Congress members and senators. And you know, I know D.C. is a long ways to come for a lot of people, but people are coming from all over the country, and they can come for 3 days. They can march and lobby and take part in all sorts of events, and they can fly or drive, or they can get a train. There's a train coming from California, peacetraintodc.com is the website for that.
Okay, Peace Train to D.C.,
uh-huh, T-O-D-C, peacetrain2dc.com. Mm-hmm. But if you go to my website, afterdowningstreet.org, you'll see the information on the march, on the trainings and workshops, on the lobbying, and what we're lobbying for. And there are suddenly a lot of great bills in Congress to lobby for, mm-hmm. More in the House than the Senate.
Well, Barbara Lee, the congresswoman from Oakland, was on with us yesterday to describe the legislation that she, Lynn Woolsey, and Maxine Waters have introduced. And it builds on something we talked about the week before with Congressman Sam Farr from the Central Coast of California. He introduced a very simple two-paragraph resolution declaring that the original authorization to use military force is repealed and that the president shall bring the troops home forthwith. The women in the Out of Iraq caucus that I just mentioned, Barbara Lee, Lynn Woolsey, and Maxine Waters, built on that with a bill that specifies that no permanent bases can be left, talks about the issues of the War Powers Resolution, requires a full coverage for veterans returning home from Iraq, and a couple of other issues.
Well, and one that's absolutely fundamental, and that is it cuts off the money for further war.
And a lot of Democrats are afraid to approach that. I think they've got to get over it, David.
Well, Congressman Jim McGovern had a bill in the last Congress that quite simply cut off the money for the war. And it specified quite clearly that that had nothing to do with paying for the safe return of our troops or the reconstruction of Iraq and so forth. But this nonsense that bringing our troops safely home is somehow against our troops, you know, Nancy Pelosi uses this as an excuse, but she herself is a prime promoter of this piece of nonsense. You know, that's got to be set aside. And it is, I think, you're right, the reason that McGovern's bill didn't get more co-sponsors. He's going to reintroduce, with some significant improvements to the bill, Jerry Nadler has a similar bill already introduced. And the bill that Woolsey and Waters and Lee and a dozen of their colleagues have introduced is a really comprehensive bill that not only pays for and stipulates the safe return of our troops, but actually takes care of our veterans when they get back home for a change, and sees to the reconstruction of Iraq, bars the permanent bases there, restores mm-hmm. the health system of Iraq. I mean, this was very much inspired by former Senator McGovern and William Polk's book on getting out of Iraq. It's
right.
A comprehensive proposal, and it cuts off the money and ends the war, and it does so on a timetable. So it's going to be very hard to reject as anti-troop,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be very hard for the president to continue to claim that no one has a plan, so they can't criticize his.
Now, Dave, we've got a minute remaining here. We've got to talk to our people, because the mobilization in October did not produce the desired result. You did a great job with Camp Democracy, and not enough people came to join forces. We need to turn that around, and we need a real major turnout on January 27th.
Well said. Can't say it any better. Come to afterdowningstreet.org. Go to unitedforpeace.org. Go to peacetrain2dc.com. Get on a train. Get on a bus. Get on an airplane if you have to, and get to D.C. and stay for 3 days. We'll take care of you. You'll lobby, and you will affect this government. You know, we had the biggest protests in world history, February 15, 2003. Bush in office and a Republican administration didn't do any good. We now have Democrats in charge. This is our test to see whether it makes any difference to have Democrats in charge. But if we don't step up to the test, we'll never know.
Yeah. David Swanson, thank you for your untiring activism.
Same to you, Peter.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you again soon.
Right.
That's David Swanson here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Coming up next. A little bit of ancient history there. Sorry about that, folks. We were in a hurry and just threw it in there. But David Swanson's always a good guest, no matter what. I want to let you know what's coming up next. We got Brad Friedman finally live in studio in Phoenix, Arizona. He had to do some scrambling, some fast driving. But he will be with us starting in about 5-7 minutes after the news, and a little bit of bill paying to do. We got Brad Friedman, again, in studio, live, coming up after the break. Thanks for sticking with us, and sorry about the earlier technical problems, but I know we have loyal fans out there, and I appreciate it. And we'll be right back at you after the news with Brad Friedman, live in Phoenix, Arizona.
United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Emergency vehicles crisscrossed Central Florida all day after a severe thunderstorm spawned at least one tornado, ripping through hundreds of homes and leaving dead and injured in its wake. It happened around 3 in the morning. This man got his family up just in time.
I said, let's go to the bathroom. So we run to the bathroom, close the door, laid on the floor, and about that time it hit, and bam, sounded like a freight train hit the house.
From the looks of things, it might as well have been a freight train. This woman was away at the time and came home to ruins.
I left right before it hit last night, and this is the first time I've seen it all day.
CBS News correspondent Peter King talked to storm victims in the hard-hit city of DeLand.
A gentleman told me that his stepbrother was in his mobile home riding it out. Everything collapsed around him, and he was buried under a pile of debris that was about 6 feet high. The stepbrother not only survived, but he didn't even have a scratch on him.
So far, authorities confirmed 19 people dead, most of them in the Paisley area. Excerpts of a new intelligence report say Iraq, in some places, is beyond civil war. CBS News correspondent David Martin begins our coverage.
It's not just a civil war. Iraq is spiraling downward toward implosion. That's the stark picture painted by the National Intelligence Estimate, or as former CIA analyst Kenneth Pollard calls it, the NIE.
The NIE does a very nice job of making clear the trajectory that Iraq is on, and that trajectory is straight down.
National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley says that's why the president changed his Iraq strategy.
To continue doing what we're doing was, as he said, a prescription for slow failure.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. While the cost in lives cannot be predicted, the financial cost of U.S. operations in Iraq and Afghanistan will continue to soar. President Bush next week will be asking Congress to approve nearly $250 billion in additional funding. Congress has already appropriated $70 billion for this year. Mr. Bush wants another $100 billion, and his new budget will ask for $145 billion for 2008.
In addition to the surge of 21,500 combat troops, CBS News has learned the Pentagon will send another 1,800 troops in support roles. By order of Governor Rick Perry, Texas will become the first state in the nation to require that all schoolgirls be vaccinated against the virus that causes cervical cancer. Critics suggest Perry, a conservative Christian, was influenced by Merck, the maker of the vaccine. Merck spokesman Chris Loader defends his company's role.
We support approaches that achieve high immunization rates, and we support state-level mechanisms, including school requirements, to ensure high immunization rates.
In the market today, the Dow lost 20 points, closing at 12,653. The Nasdaq gained 7.5. This is CBS News.
Hello?
Awful night.
Beth?
My erosive acid reflux.
Haven't you heard of Protonix pantoprazole sodium?
What?
Protonix. One daily tablet helped control daytime, even nighttime acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep, even helped repair acid reflux damage. Plus, I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan.
Right. Gotta go.
Where?
To see my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 866-794-ACID to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
Most movie fans have a plan for Oscar night, Sunday the 25th, but this year they can make a whole weekend of it. CBS's Jim Taylor reports the nation's second-largest theater chain plans to showcase the films nominated for Best Picture, one after the other.
The AMC theater chain selling $30 tickets to see the mini film festival the day before the Oscars. Show starts with Babel, and then it's Helen Mirren in The Queen, followed by Jack Nicholson and the gang in The Departed, Clint Eastwood's Letters from Iwo Jima, and the dysfunctional family finale, Little Miss Sunshine. 10.5 hours of film time. Each ticket grants the moviegoer unlimited refills of soda and popcorn. Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Good news about Farrah Fawcett. The former Charlie's Angels star, who just turned 60, was diagnosed with cancer last year. But this week, a spokesman says she got a clean bill of health. Fawcett's doctor says she's had a full and complete response to treatment, and her prognosis is excellent. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Did you know your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury may be trying to tell you something? Just look at your oil change sticker or your odometer. They tell an important message: when to change your oil. And when it is time, be sure to visit your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
I can help. I got two strong roads. I can help.
Right now, the Works Fuel Saver Package is just $36.95 or less. That's a Motocraft synthetic blend oil change, tire rotation, fluid top off, multi-point inspection, and more. Just $36.95. And no appointment is necessary. Now that's convenient. Genuine Ford parts. Expert service. Low prices. We've got everything you need.
You need a hand, I can assure you this. I can help.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better. We're proving it. And we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, and diesel vehicles extra. Disposal fee may apply. See participating dealership for service hours and details through 31807.
One.
By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising.
Pretty good, huh? No, that was me. That's me.
She'll find the note I left hanging on her door.
I don't know what she's going to find. Holy cow, this is Brad Friedman live, finally, on the Peter B. Collins Show. That's right, Brad Friedman for BradBlog.com, your friendly citizen investigative journalist. Boy, oh boy, it's been quite an adventure today, and we've got a lot more adventure to come tonight. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. This is the last hour. I want to thank Matt Renner up there in San Rafael for plugging Peter back in. You were listening to an old show of Peter's there for the first 2 hours. We had planned a great big election integrity town hall forum live from Phoenix, where I was filling in for Peter B. while he was enjoying a vacation in Miami. We had a huge crowd of folks out there at the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Union Hall ready to go. And then, we had trouble connecting to the network. I'd like to say that the network connection today was sponsored by Diebold. You know Diebold, the company that has ruined democracy for America. Well, somehow they got in and they ruined our planned live town hall today, at least the first 2 hours of it. We're going to still pick up where things left off here for the third hour, live from Phoenix at 1480 KPHX, your Air America Nova M radio network affiliate. And interesting and good news, I think, to make up for it. After we go off the air here with Peter B., he's got one more hour on the air. I should say I have one more hour covering for him. Mike Malloy, to those stations who carry Mike Malloy, is out sick tonight, and they've asked me to step in and fill in for our good friend Mike, and I'm going to then be doing that after the Peter B. Show goes off the air. So you'll be able to pick up more over there. We're going to pick up some of our election integrity, our plans over there on the Mike Malloy Show, maybe bring election integrity to a new audience. Who knows? We'll be taking your calls. We'll be having guests as soon as we can find them. And, good Lord, all sorts of other things. So to jump back in where we are, now that we've raced back over from the station, from the Union Hall, now we're in the station, and hopefully going out live, finally, to from KPHX out to the folks in Monterey, KRXA, up in Eureka, California, KGOE, where are we? Coos Bay, Oregon, KBBR, and of course, coast to coast and around the globe via the internets. And I hope if there's folks over at BradBlog still paying attention, we've got an open thread over there. Guys, thanks for hanging in there with us. I'm going to try to keep my eye on the BradBlog open thread for everything that we've got going on here today, through this show and through the Malloy show that follows. Although, for those stations that don't carry Malloy, maybe I shouldn't say that. They're going to be mad at me. Never mind. For the next, after this hour, for the next 3 hours, I'm not going to be doing nothing much. There you go. We're going to get right to our first guest here who, thank God, he has been hanging out for 2 hours waiting to come on the air. And one of the reasons I wanted to come to Arizona was because this state, I got to tell you, has one of the most remarkable election integrity groups in the nation. Listeners on Peter B., who have heard me talking about election integrity as a regular guest, have likely also heard John Brakey from Audit AZ. Well, AuditAZ.org was sponsoring tonight's show, as was the Arizona Advocacy Network, as was VelvetRevolution.us, and, of course, the folks at KPHX. We're going to have John Brakey in a little bit, I think next hour, as we regroup here. But one of the folks leading the charge here in the state, the only state, we'll find out, but I think it's the only state that actually has an election integrity committee on the Democratic State Committee, is Arizona. The man who is the chair of that election integrity committee for the state Dem Party. And by the way, everything we talk about here tonight needs to apply to every other state. That's why we're here. Tell you what they're doing here. Absolutely. So the rest of you 49 folks can get it together. Doctor, and I don't even have my notes, so I'm going to wing this. Dr. Mm-hmm. Ted Downing, he was a two-term House. Okay, see, I'm learning. Two-term state House representative in Arizona, right?
That's right. You're not looking at the internet. You're doing this really good.
I'm doing this. Until something happened in 2006. We're going to talk about that later on in this show.
We'll find out an interesting phone call we'll be able to play for you. But Ted Downing has really been leading the charge, so welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for sticking in here
and
with us.
And thank you for coming to Arizona. If you want to talk about election integrity, you've come. Arizona's to election integrity as Jerusalem is to religion. You're here.
Wow. Thank you. Okay. You might get in trouble these days with that comparison. But that said, what you're doing here is amazing because you guys have been working not only in the legislature, but you're working with the state party. You're moving the national party. We're going to talk a little bit about that and a resolution that you guys brought today, an amendment to a resolution out there. I was just so impressed. I met some of you guys last night. So much is going on. Give us an idea what you have been doing really just recently in the state house. To fight for election integrity. You got a new bill coming, I believe.
Yeah, we've got a new bill. Well, I think a lot of people know around the country that Arizona broke through. We had a breakthrough because the group put through an audit bill that actually allowed us to look at what was happening to the whole machinery of election, not just Diebold, but Sequoia, all the other companies. What was exciting, we were doing hand counts on the machines, and we have that in statute, so we can actually do it by law. What was exciting is that we've now done our first hand counts. We've just made discoveries as to what was going on in elections in Arizona.
Now, these were hand counts during the audits of the optical scan ballots that
you guys
right,
have. That's right. That's right. We do a sample.
And a couple of – you also have touchscreen, do you not, DREs for –
Yeah, that's right. We had some very, very – in fact, very few were actually used. But we had to figure out some way to hand count and audit that. People fought real hard to get it. We got it. We did the hand count. We also observed the machinery out of the 15 counties we have in Arizona. We discovered there were 15 different election systems. That's an interesting story. And now we're moving on actually to the adjustment. We're in the next phase of it where we're trying to make certain the most exciting part is we're trying to criminalize the activities such as playing with the electronics. We now are leading that into a criminal area, a very high crime right under murder. In terms of our felony status. I mean, no, you're going to play with the democracy. You're going to take a full hit.
Oh, okay? Man. Ted Downing for president. Okay. Thank you, sir. Yeah, keep going. I love
it. Okay, well, the other exciting thing is that as we dug into the election system, and we have at Election Time, we had about 400 people out working at different levels, at all levels, from doing simple things to very sophisticated computers. We discovered in the process that one thing that they were actually printing, and I think John will talk about this, somebody was printing not how many people voted, but the actual results ahead of the election. And we would have never discovered that without the wonderful forensics done by Jim Marsh and John Brakey and many others. So when we started doing computer forensics, imagine having the results of the election 10, 15 days ahead of time. So we're going to criminalize that. No longer are you going to get a chance to play peekaboo and find out who's winning.
That was, like a month or so. We had the logs on that. It was, where do I have this? August, is this 9? September. September 9, 06. You guys got this out of the logs. September 9, 06. This was a month before the election.
Mm-hmm.
2 months? September, October,
September
November?
12th. It's
27,931 early ballots had been counted and printed. A printed summary report. I believe this was Tucson, if I'm not mistaken.
It is a summary. Pima County. Brad, it's important. This is not a summary of how many people voted. This is a summary of actually who's winning and who's losing.
And this was printed out for some reason a month or two.
And it was placed, and supposedly when we asked, it was placed face down in a cardboard box and nobody looked.
But did they give an explanation as to why they're counting the votes prior to the election?
Not one that we're satisfied with.
Now, the implication here is bad guys can print this thing out. They can share it with, frankly, any party. Now, I don't know if Brad Nelson down there, the registrar in Pima County, if he's more attached to the Republicans than the Democrats.
He told us he'd never, neither his grandfather, his father, or he would ever vote Democrat.
Okay, and this guy...
I think other than that, he's unbiased.
Other than that, he's... Yes. Boy. And now, so he is printing out, he or someone, we don't know who, is printing out these summaries that they can then decide what precincts they sort of have to hit with phone calls or anything else.
Right, and we're not saying there's fraud.
Right.
I think what we discovered in this whole exercise, looking at all the counties, all the work we've done, and we're still continuing to do, and now we're preparing for 08, what we discovered is bureaucracy, lack of competence. We've discovered systems that nobody's paying attention to, everything.
We're going to talk more about this with Ted Downing. Going to take a quick break here. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to reset, get my brain on straight. We'll be back with much, much more. I'm Brad Friedman. We'll be back.
Okay.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Are you tired of hearing no when applying for a home loan? Is your credit shot due to late payments, bankruptcy, or recent foreclosure? Do you need help purchasing a home or refinancing your existing home? Well, now there is help every Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 8 here on KRXA 540 AM. Listen live to national radio host Ken Michaels of Mortgage Makeovers as he doles out simple answers in plain English to your mortgage and finance questions.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Well, good afternoon once again. I'm Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540. It's out to Opal Cliffs for East Cliff Drive at 37th Avenue. An accident there. Two cars reportedly are blocking lanes in King City. If you're headed down that way, Central Avenue at Teague Avenue, we have a car fire. It's unknown if lanes are blocked. The fire department is en route. A little closer to home, we're not seeing major delays on southbound Highway 1 from Monterey into Carmel. Your ride along the truck route on Carpenter into Carmel looks pretty good. We are seeing that traditional slowdown on the Fishhook from southbound 17 down to southbound 1 now through Capitola. And that word brought to you by Welch's 100% Grape Juice, a diet rich in natural antioxidants is good for your heart, and Welch's 100% Grape Juice is loaded with them. I'm Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540.
Took that stroll to cast my ballot at the local poll. The lines were long, but I didn't care. I had water, a hat, and my folding chair. Walked up to the booth,
didn't say a word. Sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent. But now nobody knows exactly where it went. I lost my vote, it isn't fair. I took a stand, doesn't anybody care? Then lost my vote, now do you know where did my ballot go?
Oh yeah, well they may have lost her vote, but Ted Downing is out there trying to find exactly what the hell happened to it. Ted Downing, former state House of Representatives, former congressman. Is that what I was
saying?
No.
State representative.
State representative.
Yeah,
there we go. Right. Ted Downing, state representative, now chair of the Election Integrity Commission for the Arizona State Democratic Party. This is the Peter B. Collins Show with your guest host tonight, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. And one of the things that we were talking about is how Arizona has implemented this election integrity commission on the state party, and it's the only state that I know of who's doing that. Am I correct there?
Yeah, we did in less than 2 years, Brad. We were able to accomplish a lot, and by the way, this could be done at any state in the United States. You just have to have dedication to your purpose. First, you want to hear how we did it?
Yeah, I do.
First, we got ourselves ingrained in the party like a tick on a dog. We fought to create an election integrity committee. The next thing is we decided to work on cycles. We set up an organization. We learned our stuff, had meetings, and we started laying out what we call the Arizona Election Integrity Plan. Wonderful idea, and you use your counties as your base. Every county would be compared to every other county. Something's going wrong, you'll know.
Now, why is it that Arizona figured this out? Was it you? Because I know there was actually a bipartisan effort here.
I think, working
with Karen Johnson, the Republican in the state senate. Why did you guys figure it out when even at the national level, the Democrats are still sort of scratching their head, trying to get this thing right, afraid to commit to it, that they'll be, you know, called conspiracy theorists or whatever it is. Why did you guys get it and the other 49 haven't yet?
The desert.
Is that the desert heat?
Yeah, it's great ideas come out of the desert, religions, things like that. What we were trying to do was a tremendous dedication of a lot of people. They were listening to Brad. They were reading Brad's blog, I'd like to say.
Thank you. Keep it
track of it. So you're part of instigating.
Well, yeah, but if that was it, then all 50 states would have one now. So why is Arizona different? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
We had LD20, an election that went crazy on the Republican side.
And
that helped us. That gave me. I've been running these bills for 3 years, and 4 years I was trying to introduce a verified paper ballot, much of what Congressman Holt's doing, without success. Because there was a problem on the Republican side, I was able to form what some people consider an unholy alliance between a very conservative but very good person on election integrity, Senator Karen Johnson.
Right.
The Republican side and I decided to form an agreement, and we wanted to trust and verify. And at that point, things meshed. We got together with John Brakey. We got together with people all over the base or Acer. We have a little organizations, and we built this network.
So is it that something went wrong? I know Karen Johnson. One of the reasons she jumped in, as it was explained to me, was that she had problems. She was a campaign manager, I think, for Pat Buchanan back in '96.
She's a progressive Democrat like me. She's way over there.
Well, that's right. And my understanding was she had some concerns back in '96 about what may or may not have happened in the primary. It seems like when folks get their ox gored here, pun intended, all of a sudden they're concerned about election integrity. She might have been concerned about because of that. And then I know in 2004 you mentioned this this LD20, Legislative District 20, Republican primary. Incredibly close race. Help me make sure I get this right. Maricopa County.
In Arizona, we have a recount law, but you have to be really, really close.
Right.
And we had an election that was that close, a primary in a district where only Republicans win.
Right.
They counted the second time, and I think 489 votes appeared.
That's right.
Yeah, the same number of ballots, but more votes.
The ballot number didn't change?
Just one more ballot than before.
I didn't realize
so
that.
Who marked the ballot and was the scanner wrong? And guess what?
Yeah.
The heavily conservative candidate lost, and a more moderate Republican won. So that flipped it. in the direction of what the, we have a Republican Party here that always fights back and forth. So the balance of power kind of slifted.
We've been covering that at bradblog.com now for the last couple of years since they've been trying to figure out what the hell happened there. And they had Doug Jones, I think it was, from University of Iowa, computer scientist, came in, took a look at the, not at the ballots themselves, but at the scanners, the op scanners. Essentially, he found that you could take three different op scanners, put the same ballot through each one of them, get a different result in each of them.
It's amazing. But then what happened? The FBI took the ballots at the end, if you remember.
I do.
We had a lot of questions. The FBI took the ballot. They came back and made a report.
Well, actually, before the FBI came, we found out they had the damn things out in a storage room. An unair-conditioned, unguarded storage room out by the airport is where they were keeping these ballots, as I recall. Doug Jones said, the only thing that I can do to figure out what went wrong here is to actually take a look at those ballots. They said, no, you can't have them. I think it was Brad Nelson down in Pima County.
Right.
Here in Maricopa. That's right. Oh, see, I want to blame Brad Nelson for everything.
No, that's okay.
But, or Brewer. But anyway, so you can't look at the ballots, and then the FBI comes in.
Everybody took the ballots, and they were going to determine whether there was any fraud. They came back with a report, which from many of our points, it was interesting. For example, a whole pallet, you know, a large pallet of ballots, which has a plastic cover over them, they reported it had been ripped off. No discussions why that happened. And they essentially tell us, trust me, everything's okay.
Well, trust me. And that's I'm going to talk about that in the next segment, because this issue of trust with these election directors, I've got some startling audio I'm going to play for you, Ted Downing. I'd love to get your comments on that when we come back. stick with us here. Can you stick with us a little bit?
Love
it's hot
to,
in here. They didn't know we were coming in, so they didn't turn on the air condition, but that's all right. We're going to survive.
Well, you're from California here. It's 114. That's just getting cool. Well,
it's freezing in Arizona. You guys didn't tell me. All right. Listen, we're going to come back more with Ted Downing. We've got a whole lot more ahead for the rest of this hour and then on some other guy's show, where we're going to be sitting in for 3 hours, Mike Malloy, pay attention. And we'll take your calls, 1-888-5-PETER-B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Oh, we got a lot more ahead. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative journalist. Out of breath, but never down and out. We're going to be back with much, much more. Stick with us, 1-888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
I don't believe that every vote counts. It's a problem. Gotta do something about it. Gotta help the folks who are down but not out. Election reform. It sure ain't pretty. Election reform. Every state, every city. Election reform. Like Iraq or Ukraine. Election reform. In the USA.
Oh, yeah, we're covering election reform in the USA. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show, I'm your friendly citizen, journalist, blogger, Brad Friedman, sitting in from bradblog.com, sitting in for the vacationing Peter B., doing our Arizona, live from Phoenix, Arizona, doing our Arizona town hall, come hell or high water. Hey, Des, can you open that door for a second?
Sure.
Open that door. The folks follow. We were supposed to do over at the... Oh, now they let... Are they there? Hey, are you guys here? Make some noise out there for us. Can they hear? All right, there's our election town hall. That's not a sound effect. They followed us over there from the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Union Hall where we were going to do our live town hall. But they're here and fighting for every damn vote. We're sitting in with the chair of the Election Integrity Committee for the State Democratic Party, Ted Downing, Dr. Ted Downing, an anthropologist, am I correct?
That's right, that's
you
right.
You told me an interesting thing earlier about anthropology. Do you remember
worked in about 16 different cultures, yeah. And I finally found the most savage on the planet.
Yeah.
That was the Arizona State Legislature.
I see. Well, they are savage, and I'm going to try to get to a call. Let's see, I hear you're not popular in the Democratic Party.
No, I'm okay with the Democratic Party.
No, sir, I have a recording.
Uh-oh.
I have a recording that says that the Democrats might not be crazy about you. That's what I hear. Hang on, let me see if I can play this real quick. I think you're not very popular. Let me see if I can find this. Ah, here we go. Here we go.
Saturday, 8:30.
This is about Ted Downing. Democrats don't care for him, I understand. Let's hear this call. This is an actual robocall.
This is an important message about the Arizona Democratic Party's opposition to Ted Downing's outrageous $9 billion tax increase.
See?
You heard that right. Mm. The Arizona Democratic Party says Ted Downing co-sponsored a $9 billion tax increase on hardworking Arizona voters.
Democrats don't like you.
The Democratic Party has officially asked voters in Pima County to oppose those who supported this bill, including short-sighted politicians like Ted Downing. The Arizona Democratic Party criticized the bill Downing voted for as giving big utilities the green light to charge ratepayers a staggering 25 cents for every $100 in fees.
How could you do that?
The Democratic Party has voiced outrage over this yes vote by Ted Downing. Downing's vote hit seniors especially hard. The Democratic Party in our state targeting the most vulnerable Arizonans.
This is clear.
If the Democratic Party is against Ted Downing's vote, should we oppose Ted Downing? This call was paid for by the Arizona Republican Party.
What? What? Paid for by the Republican Party?
And there was no Republican candidate in the race.
That was a primary. That was last
primary.
Year, right? Primary. You're running against another Democrat.
That's right. With the reputation of having put through that audit bill and caused all kinds of trouble to Diebold. Diebold had three lobbyists on me. I mean, I am a dream for Diebold lobbyists. They make a lot of money off of me.
Yeah, right.
And, so, you know, but who knows, you know, the Republican Party, but that we actually saw the receipt. The Republican Party paid for it.
They paid well, of course, but you'd have to listen to the end of that call. It's a minute-long call.
The timing was important. It was done Saturday night before the election and Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Who gets a political call at 8 a.m.?
Well,
to stay on.
Yeah, and so they're ticked off if they're getting this call anyway, and they're thinking it's coming from the Democratic Party. Hang up. We saw this all over the country this year.
This is what that tape has been up and discussed. I think it's going up to Obama's office. Because this is a robocall.
Yep.
So welcome to the world of robocalls.
Yeah. And do you think that had any effect on
election? Well, the race was real tight. There was a poll done right a week before this happened, about 4 or 5 days. We were neck and neck. I was slightly leading within a large margin of error. I lost. And effective. Mm. That's why people are having trouble with robocalls. You can send out anything. You can do about 100,000 of those. Try this. I can send out 100,000 robocalls in 15 minutes.
Yep. Unbelievable. And so, they can say anything you want, as long as at the very end, you say paid for by whoever.
There's election integrity reform. Make them say it up at the front.
Yeah, you guys got to bring any bills in Congress? Because I know Obama and Schumer were looking at doing something along those lines to criminalize. They've got a new bill, as a matter of fact. Thank you, Des, for handing me this. They've got a new bill that criminalizes voter intimidation. I'm not sure if this is clear, actually, as robocalls go.
That's not voter intimidation, no. It used to be called lying.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's what happened, and we're hoping to see this go up to a national level. I'm hoping to see the election integrity committees like we had all over the United States. It will help people if they want to. Just get hold of Ted Downing. You can get me at downing@cox.net.
Downing@cox.net. All right.
Downing@DOWNING.
You'll help other states to nationalize what you guys are doing?
This whole group is ready to go, not just me. The entire group. We've got a lot of people here ready to take this nationally. The other thing we'd like to see is this issue brought up with the presidential candidates.
Yeah,
this is important, and this is something that everybody can do anywhere that's listening in the United States. When the candidate comes to your town, ask them a question. Do you have an election integrity expert? Not a person that knows something about voter intimidation and polls. I mean an expert that understands the system that you read about on Brad's blog. Do you have anybody like that on your inner campaign, setting around your mobile campaigns? And this will be the test. If they don't, then they believe who won in 2000 and 2004, okay, or 2006. We have to make certain that every single candidate, Republican and Democrat, focuses on election integrity. That's the way to do it.
Now, are you going to contact each of the presidential candidates?
I'm in the process right now. I'm asking them to say, have you got it? But it would help me if any time they show up and ask questions and address it, the question keeps appearing over and over again. Listen, if a person, Brad, this is that. If a person believes that you could trust an election system, they shouldn't be president of the United States.
You know what? And you bring me to this point, because I wanted to play this. Peter B. Collins fans may remember, this from, this was actually October 24, 2005. I was on the air with Peter B. He had on Tony Anchundo. He was the registrar of voters out in Monterey County. Okay. And I was interviewing him along with Peter. And here's one of the things that Tony Anchundo had to say during that interview. I've got a couple of clips here. Here's the first one for you concerning trusting your elections officials.
It sounds like Mr. Chundo is suggesting that the vote count will actually be taken from the cartridge. So in other words, when one votes and you see that result on that piece of paper, how does a voter or anyone else know that what is actually marked on the cartridge is the same as what's on the paper?
Well, how will the voter know? They won't know, obviously, at that time. There is obviously going to have to be some trust and faith in the elections official, and in this case, it's me.
Okay. In this case, it's me. That's Tony Anchundo, the Registrar of Voters in Monterey County, talking about their new Sequoia voting machines that they use out there. And whether they were going to take the machine, the counts off the machine, the cartridge, or off the so-called paper trail that those machines had. We talked about it a little further. He talked more about trust and faith-based voting. This is me, Peter B. Collins, and Tony Anchundo back in October of 05.
You suggest that we should trust you, that everything is okay here, and that you'll make a decision. I guess there's nothing in law about whether it's the cartridge count or the paper count, which becomes the ballot of record. But I'm concerned about faith-based voting.
And let me just jump in, Brad. You basically are implying that you prefer the paper record, that that's a tangible item that cannot be changed through remote access by computer, for example.
Well, yeah, and also the paper is what is actually validated by the voter, and Mr. Chundo suggests that what's written to the memory cartridge is the same as what's on the paper, but admits that there's really no way that the voter knows that. So I'm not sure how we will know that our vote is to be counted accurately at all.
Well, again, and believe me, I've heard these questions and concerns over the years, and when we first rolled this voting system out in 1999, we certainly didn't have the same number of people out there that had similar concerns. But I believe, and you know, as I mentioned earlier, the trust and faith in the elections official is important, but this technology would not be available at any level unless both the federal and state authorities provided that type of support. So again, it's just not my trust and faith that you have, that they've gone through stringent tests to assure the integrity.
What do you think? Stringent tests at the federal and state level to ensure the integrity. Now, just 2 weeks ago, the New York Times reported that one of the main companies, the companies that test 60-70% of all voting machines in the country, has lost its license, its certification, if you will, to test these machines last July. And the Elections Assistance Commission never told anybody about it. But what they discovered was they weren't doing any testing properly at the federal level. And now Tony Anchundo says, for Monterey County, that we should trust him. Well, what happened to Tony Anchundo, that was back in October of 2005. In July of 2006, 13-year California election official Tony Anchundo charged with 43 criminal charges, including forgery, misapplication of funds, embezzlement, falsification of accounts, and grand theft to the tune of $70,000. This is Tony Trust Me Anchundo, who then in December of 2006 pled no contest to all 43 criminal charges. Does trust Ted Downing have a place in our election system?
Well, apparently if you want to be an election director and not be audited and not be accountable, and Brad, it shows up at all levels. We had a lot of people. We have our audit system, as it was all designed, was to allow the parties would decide if they were going to do the hand count. And we had election directors, sometimes with party officials, say, trust us, we all know each other, there's no problem, and refuse to do the audit. In our new version of the bill this time, we're going to get rid of that issue. The bill is going to say, shall, you will do it, you're going to do those audits. And this kind of trust attitude exists at all levels. What you're looking at, really, the real enemy sometimes of voting systems is bureaucracy. Bureaucracy. I wrote a book a long time ago called The Hidden Crisis in Development of Bureaucracies. This is what's messing up our election system, sometimes as much as voter fraud. People that don't want to be accountable, they don't want to see what they're doing, they're using systems, they're not following instructions. So we have to crank up The trust me thing is coming from bureaucrats that say, don't look at me. That's what they're really saying.
Yeah, you said that the bureaucracy of elections, this was last night when we were chatting, the bureaucracy of elections is more powerful than parties. And which means that both sides, all sides, are really shouldn't be trusted because of the bureaucracy, because of what's going on. And to underscore that, Secretary of State Jan Brewer out here in Arizona.
One of my good friends.
September 1, to, I bet she is, 2006, in the Arizona Capital Times said, the reason we went back to technology is because of the Bush-Gore vote. So instead of going forward, we're going backwards with your manual audits.
That's right.
I fully stand behind our optical scan equipment. It all comes down to faith and trust in your election officials. That's what Jan Brewer said. We got to take a break. We're going to come back with a few more minutes with Ted Downing. If you can stick around, we got some other folks out in the hall. We're going to just raise hell out here in Arizona. Thanks for sticking in with us here at the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Brad Friedman. We're back for much more. Stay with us.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue they could be. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a Bible solution. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
And good afternoon. I'm Frank Sullivan with a look at traffic on KRXA 540. We're going to go out to Highway 152 at Casa de Fruta, the Pacheco Pass, or near it, an injury crash. A solo car crash off of the roadway. Apparently that car slammed into a tree. Emergency crews are on scene, and an investigation could be out there for a while. Some long-term road construction, the southbound ramp from Highway 1 over to Morrissey in Santa Cruz, that is closed. In fact, it's closed 24 hours a day through May 1st. There are detours in place, and still slow and go from Southbound 17 onto Southbound 1, this time through Capitola. That were brought to you by BottlesandCans.com. Recycling refunds have gone up. Now small beverage containers are worth 5 cents and the bigger ones 10. Visit BottlesandCans.com. Recycle, it's in your hands. Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540.
San Francisco, she must have lost her way. Posting a poster of Poncho and Cisco, one California day. She says she believes in Robin Hood and Brotherhood and colors of green and gray. And all you can do is laugh at her. Arizona, take off your rainbow shades. Arizona.
Revere and the Raiders. All right, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, the last few minutes of our live show, and we are live, and to prove it, you guys out there, can you pick that up? All right, is that coming across? Ian, can you hear it in there at all? Yeah, well, okay, that's live. We don't have sound effects at KPHX, so that couldn't be fake, I promise you. The folks followed us over there from the election integrity town hall that we had planned to do, and they're out there eating sandwiches and having fun and not paying attention at all. We've got our last few minutes here with Ted Downing, the election integrity chair for the State Democratic Party, and then at the top of the hour, we're going to finish up with Peter B. Collins' show. And for stations who don't carry the Mike Malloy Show, don't listen to this. But I'll be sitting in for Mike Malloy for the next 3 hours because he's out sick. So anyway, you can. Oh, I don't think they have time to call. We don't have enough time to call, Des. You want to call? All right, try a call. Do we have a call? We have a call. Let's take a caller. Okay. Chris in Salinas, yeah. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for calling in. What's up, Chris?
I was wondering if you have been in touch with Deborah Bowen's office at all and where she stands on these DRE voting machines.
Well, you know what? I have been in touch with them a little bit. You may know that Lowell Finley, who was used to be a head of VoterAction.org and had sued the state of California and other states all around the country for election. Did they have a lawsuit out here, Voter Action, Ted?
I think they did, right?
Okay, mm-hmm. And the guy who was doing those lawsuits was Lowell Finley, and he's now the state, California Secretary of State for Voting Systems, which is just unbelievable. Yeah. Well, go ahead, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I think the lesson from Arizona is just don't sit around and depend on somebody at the top to protect you.
That's right.
That's what we learned
Even
here.
Deborah Bowen, and she's terrific on your side.
She's a tremendous person, but she needs that citizen action like we have in Arizona that starts with people. We had one person try this, Brad, two people we didn't even know that were watching how many ballots were coming back in after the election, machines.
Yeah.
We didn't even know they were out there. They came in with information that about 24 of the machines never showed back up at the barn.
Man.
So that's citizen action.
That
they were out
and
to
all
stay out
of
there.
This is all a citizen movement. Chris, to answer your question about Bowen, the last I heard from her was a great article by Tom Elias, who talked about the fact that she, in an interview with her, that she was going to review every system from top to bottom. And possibly decertify as necessary. And I know that, as I said, Lowell Finley, who's now the head of the Deputy Secretary of State for Voting Systems, had sued to get rid of the Diebold touchscreen systems in California. So I don't think they're long for, I was going to say this state, but long for California. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I hope she's going to get rid of the electronic voting machines. I mean, it's just, I want to see paper ballots, you know. I'm not even that enthralled about the tabulators.
The optical scan tabulators?
I don't know why we can't just do punch card like we did since I was 18 until, 99? Or whenever we had the breakout here.
Well, you know, punch cards were also counted by computer.
Whatever.
Chris, think this is Ted Downing. Think the answer is money. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people making a lot of money off the fact that supposedly we don't know how to vote.
What about Washington? I mean, the silence is deafening on this issue of election reform and even campaign finance reform.
I hear you. And, well, there is buzz, and I had planned on talking for 3 hours about it today. I'm going to roll it over to Malloy's show after this. We're going to talk much more about that and the national picture. And we've got a call from some folks, Donna Branch Gilby out there, who is at the DNC meeting. We're going to talk about exactly that, Chris. So hang with us if you can. We're going to have a lot more. I think I got to turn it over here very shortly, so let me let you go, Chris. We're going to be back. Can we get Douglas real quick? Does he have a quick one? Douglas online too? Let's get him. Douglas, real quick. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Yeah, yes. My wife is also a member of the Election Integrity Committee for GEMDEMS. That's the districts from 18 to 22. We're always looking for volunteers to help us out in this and recruiting poll workers and stuff like that. And so if any volunteers are out there willing that's in those districts, just go to GEMDEMS.org and, find out, get in touch with the office, and we'll be glad to put them to work.
All right, and you're in Phoenix, right?
great.
We're in East Mesa.
East Mesa. All right,
yeah.
Thanks.
Is the east side of Phoenix, yeah.
All right, thanks a bunch for the call. Going to have to let you go. Ted, closing thoughts here before we roll it over?
Well, I just want to say that that I could probably have never participated at this level with and taken these stances, which have been so unpopular, without being the first clean election candidate in Arizona. That has been, I ran on public financing. My biggest backer and my smallest backers gave me $5. And because of the clean election law, I was able to come forward, take very unpopular stance. Now, I couldn't stand up to these robocalls you just heard and things like that.
They'll get you coming and going,
and,
Ted.
And it's getting visits from the D-Balls PR person at the night that the elections were being counted or the day before. Very unusual, you come from Cincinnati. But my voice and my free voice has come from people that just called in, that volunteer, and the fact that the strength of our election integrity system consists of over 400 people out here working, doing the volunteer work that we need.
You know, you've got a tremendous group. We're going to talk more about it in the next hour. I want to give credit to those Clean Elections folks because they've been fighting, and what they did was public financing for any and all candidates, essentially, right, in the state who want to run.
Right.
You were the first one
to
say
yes.
You got
to go collect those $5 contributions in the heat of the desert, but once you get them,
you got to do what it takes. And that's the folks that I want to give because Linda Brown and Mike Balder and Eric Ice, I think is his name, Ice, was going to be on with us earlier until our little snafu that sponsored by Diebold. But they were going to be with us from the Arizona Election Integrity Network, Arizona Advocacy Network. There we go.
Right.
AZAdvocacy.org. So check them out. Check out auditaz.org. We're going to talk about this a lot more tonight and a lot more as we turn over. I want to thank Ted Downing. Can you tell? I'm being the media. I'm making this stuff up as I go along, doing what I got to do. Ted Downing, thanks for hanging in here with us.
Thank you.
Really
welcome back. We hope you come back. As I said, this is the home of, but we hope it's not the first. It's the first, but not the last home. We hope every state in 18 months is at the point that Arizona's at, and we're going to be better 18 months from now.
God bless you for all that you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want to thank Peter B's folks, Matt Renner, for sticking with us up there in San Rafael, the folks that here at KPHX. That would include Jeff Farias, Ian Huff, the Plumbers and Carpenters Plumbers and Pipefitters Union, Audit AZ, VelvetRevolution.us, and everyone else. We're going to be with you for three more hours on the Mike Malloy Show. We're going to continue talking about this and a whole bunch more. So if your station doesn't get it, then go on over to MikeMalloy.com or 1480KPHX.com for
the days of wine and roses.
12-step talk uncensored.
Laugh and run away.
Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m.
Like a child.
12-step talk, uncensored. It's about time.
Through a meadowland toward a closing door.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. After storms that flattened homes and scattered debris in all directions, Doris Toms feels blessed to have survived.
God was there. Yeah, I was one of the fortunate, lucky ones, unlike some of my neighbors.
At least 19 people were killed as a line of powerful thunderstorms swept across central Florida, spawning at least one tornado. CBS News correspondent Byron Pitts on the aftermath.
Florida Governor Charlie Crist declared a state of emergency and tore the destruction.
Well, it's devastating. I mean, it looks like a bomb went off. It's just unbelievable. Okay.
For all the death and destruction, and it is widespread, one of the main concerns now moving forward, how do you restore electricity to this region?
Tonight, utility officials say some 10,000 customers are without power. In some places, the electrical grid will have to be rebuilt from scratch.
We don't know a lot about the latest national intelligence assessment on Iraq, but declassified sections made public today are very grim.
The report offers the most bleak assessment to date of the military and political situation in Iraq. The White House National Security Advisor Steve Hadley says defeat is not inevitable.
It does suggest that we can succeed with the right policies, and we think we've developed the right policy, the right strategy, the right approach.
The report says the term civil war accurately describes key elements of the Iraqi conflict, but that overall the situation is deemed to be even more complex and violent than that. Mark Knoller, CBS News. The White House.
Texas will be the first state in the country to require that girls entering sixth grade be vaccinated against the virus that causes cervical cancer. The governor issued an executive order today, and that touched off a controversy. Reporter Charlie Hodges has the story.
The vaccine is Gardasil, made by the drug maker Merck. Merck has three lobbyists working in Texas. One is Governor Rick Perry's former chief of staff, Mike Toomey. But ask Perry Press Secretary Krista Moody if there's any tie between Merck and Perry.
Not that I know of.
But she does say Perry's order to make Texas girls take the shots is important because it would save them from contracting a dangerous and deadly form of cancer. Charlie Hodges, CBS News, Dallas.
The Pentagon says Deputy Assistant Secretary of State Charles Stimson made his own decision to resign today, but after his comments in an interview about lawyers defending Guantanamo Bay detainees, CBS's Phil Hirschhorn says no one is sorry to see him go.
The Pentagon did distance itself from Stimson.